Slightly interesting blend of weird music that was to start. What on earth was that? That's a new... new and not necessarily desirable. Well, hello then. Hello and a distinct afternoon to you from the mouth-shaped hole in my face. And welcome to me, a man called the name of John Holmes, sitting in for Ian Lee as he swans off somewhere, I don't know, to interview the cast of Los Angeles or something. Anyway, I'll be here, squatting in his chair, sort of like a user who won't leave a crack den, between now and the genuine hours of 6:30 post-meridian this evening. You're very welcome, of course, as the likely jingle did tell you, to give us a call on this number, 0870 90 90 973. If you pick up a telephone, that is the thing with buttons on in front of you. I know some of you have trouble with that. If you hammer 0870 90 90 973 into the keypad, and providing you haven't picked up a remote control by accident, then it is a telephone that will, this afternoon, get you through to Chris, who's sitting there through the glass, and providing you fulfil his admittedly not very strict criteria, you'll be on air talking to me. The lines are open. The lines are open. 0870 90 90 973. We are an equal opportunities radio station, which means we're here, and we're happy to put the mental on air as well as you listening just there. 0870 90 90 973. Hello then. I'm John Holmes, in for Ian Lee.
London's LBC 97.3.
John Holmes.
So I expect you're wondering then just what's unravelling like a burst clown in today's broadcasting equivalent of disastrous climate change. Well, we'll be packing today's show's hand luggage with all sorts of volatile radio liquid. As ever, I've hauled the carcass of a phone-in game up the stairs. And today, you can call to play Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell for the radio. It's a bit like Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell for the Xbox, except I've just adapted it for the radio. But there are prizes to give away. 0870 90 90 973, if you want to play that. Whoever gets the high score on that this afternoon will win a prize. And today's prize is a very good prize, let me tell you. We have some digitals to give away, some actual digitals. We've got, I think, is that right, Chris? Three digitals we've got from the good people at Technology, and they've given this to give away. So if you want to play, 0870 90 90 973, if you want to win a digital. It simply works like this. You're a secret agent, and I guide you round a terrorist-controlled Russian oil tanker, and then I'll call out what pops up from hiding, and you have to decide whether to kill them or let them live, and probably go through some doors as well. That's radio... Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell. We'll see if it works. Give us a call. 0870 90 90 90 thing. As ever, there's also the mystery quiz. The mystery quiz today, it's a mystery voice, and I can tell you that it's Simon Cowell, talking about the fact that he doesn't like losing. But who is this?
Amazing. I mean, you know, I hate losing.
So, just who's that mystery voice? It's Simon Cowell talking about whether he hates losing or not, but who is that speaking? Mm-hmm. Text or email answers on that one. You can do it on six. What's the thing? What is it? Holmes. Holmes at lbc.co.uk. Text 84850. Holmes at lbc.co.uk. Text 84850. If you think you know who this is.
Amazing. I mean, you know, I hate losing.
And that's Simon Cowell there talking about hating losing. But just who's the mystery voice? I'll also be bringing you a roundup of London's fish markets and other markets that are available. At around 4 o'clock, I might eat some fruit. And we'll be poking all of that in the gaps between the travel news, the adverts, and all the other proper news that you can eat. 0870 90 90 973, if you want to call us. On the telephone... there is a caller, isn't there? Hello, who's that? Who's that there?
Hello, it's Phil.
Hi, Phil.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you very much. How are you?
I'm on a lazy day.
A lazy day? What are you doing?
I'm reading the paper.
Just simply that, all day?
Most of it, yeah.
Which newspaper did you read?
The Guardian.
Shh. Yeah, why shh?
Because there might be some people I know listening.
I say, you're ashamed of reading The Guardian?
No, not at all. I'm a builder. Would you call me a builder? And mostly builders read The Sun.
They do, don't they?
I moved to East Finchley and stopped reading it.
So that's that's good, though. So you're sort of a rogue builder. You've gone native.
Yeah, but I keep a copy of The Sun in the cabin just in case.
Did you read The Guardian when you've tucked it inside The Sun?
No, I haven't done that. It's too big.
Sure. Well, no... Yes, actually it is, isn't it? Because The Guardian is now officially Berliner-sized.
Get the smaller bits in.
What you'd have to do, Phil, is you'd have to fold the top of The Guardian and the bottom and the sides. And then try and fit it into The Sun. And then what you could do, just in case anyone looked over your shoulder, when it was about to become embarrassing, you could cut the page 3 thing out. And, you know, stick that over a story about climate change or something.
Yeah, I don't want to read The Sun anymore. I've had enough of it.
So, you're still a builder now? You're not retired?
Oh, yeah, no. All right. In between work.
Well, how on earth do your fellow builders let you get away with reading The Guardian?
I don't generally work with other builders. I do flooring precisely, so generally everyone else is out my way because the machines are so loud.
Right.
So, I've got the lads that I employ.
Yeah.
They're with me, but...
Do they read The Sun?
They don't read.
They can't read or don't read?
They can't, can't read, most of them.
You want to give them some sort of test. You don't want to employ people that are illiterate.
No, I don't have people that often.
I love that. I love the fact that a builder has rung in and has just gone, do you know what, I'm not conforming to the stereotype. I read the Guardian. I'm a builder and I read the Guardian.
But that's only since the summer, since we moved here.
Right. Why? What changed? Why?
I don't, I'm just...
But I think that's great. I think that's good. I mean, that's an interesting thing. If, you know, perhaps other builders, other people listening who traditionally, and I'm not, it's not just builders, of course, I suppose, and I don't think I'm wrong in saying this, that, and you probably agree with me, Phil, that the Sun, if you like, is considered sort of a working class newspaper.
It is.
That, you know, is done by some white collar we read The Sun. The Sun's in the staff room. We read the bloody Sun round here. None of your Guardian rubbish. I'll have a tea, 80 sugars, don't stir it, don't like it sweet. All that.
I'd like to think I'm more intelligent than The Sun reader.
I would like other people now to call us with secret newspaper reading, because I think that's good. If you read, if you work, like Phil, traditionally you're supposed to read The Sun or something similar, maybe The Star. Phil, I saw a van, walked past a van only last week that was parked outside. They were clearly renovating a shop or something. And in the, you know, the bit, have you got a white van, Phil?
I don't know. I've had vans before and I keep on getting broken into, so I can get all my stuff in the back into the boot of my car.
Right, fine. And so it's a saloon car, not a, then, so it's a hidden, hidden tools. Because people will break into a van because they assume stuff. Well, I saw a van, and you know they have that big, the dashboard, and then it goes down the other side of the equipment and the, you know, the steering wheel, towards the windscreen, doesn't it? And I saw the van, and you often walk past those and you see The Sun or something tucked down in there.
Oh, yeah.
You know. And I walked past a van which had more copies of the Daily Star. It tucked in that gap than three news agents. It was full of copies of the Daily Star, like they'd never emptied it. And yeah, I got to thinking, and that, you know, it's interesting that you ran, because I was thinking, you know, is it, why, they obviously chose The Star. And there was a man asleep in the, also, not doing much work, clearly, in the passenger seat, with his feet up on the dashboard, and over his face to shield him from the sun was another copy of the Daily Star.
He was bored to death.
He may have been. But the thing is, you know, you sort of go, that's just so, but why The Star? Why did they choose not The Sun? Maybe, you know, maybe buy both.
Cheaper.
Is it?
By a couple of pence. I don't know. I'm not sure. I've forgotten.
But I do like that, you know, you're a sort of Guardian reading builder. That, how do you have conversations with, you know, your staff and your colleagues?
Well, like I said, generally at work, there's too much noise, so you can't really talk at work, which is great.
Cause, oh, that's fair enough.
Yeah. And, well, the one lad that helps me, he's a very intelligent reader as well.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What does he read?
He'll probably read The Times.
This is good. This is changing the building world.
Yeah, he's a general builder.
Yeah,
and he did work in the city.
Right.
Yeah, and he doesn't do that anymore.
What? So he left the city to go and be a builder.
Yeah,
that's an interesting career change, isn't it?
He's in between work as well.
What's this telling you, Phil? You read The Guardian. You're in between work. Your colleague reads The Times in between work as builders. What you've done, you've been squeezed out of the building community.
No, in between work, that's all. I've got plenty of calls, it's fine.
Words got round, Phil. They go, don't employ him. He's not even a proper builder. He reads The Guardian.
The best in North London.
You are the best in North London.
Oh, yeah.
Are you pitching for, you're touting for work now, aren't you?
Pardon?
You're touting for work
now. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Well, you know, well, go ahead. I mean, I'm
in the Yellow Pages, Muswell Hill Flooring.
Muswell Hill Flooring.
That's right.
Right, if I need any flooring...
I'm the man.
You're the man I'm going to call.
Definitely.
But only if you switch back to a tabloid-based newspaper.
Oh.
Because I don't want... You know, if you come round my house, I expect, you know, trivial conversation about, I don't know, Pete Doherty or whoever Russell Brand's put his thing in. That's what I expect.
In the Guardian today, mate, so, you know, I know all about him.
Who?
Russell Brand.
What's he done today?
Is it Russell Brand? Yeah. Oh, I don't know. He just looks a complete... I don't
want to
say.
No, don't. No. I, you know. He's very tall, you know.
Is he?
Yeah.
I don't think he is. I think he just looks tall with his stupid hair.
Phil, I've got to go to travel.
Oh, okay.
But that's brilliant. You know, I think, didn't you phone up to play the competition?
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. We're going to do that after half to three. I've got the time. We're going to do that after half three. So what we'll do, we'll call you back and you can play.
Great.
But
thanks very much.
No, thank you. You've opened my building eyes. We're going to travel next. This is Alan Joyce. 090-9090-973-84850 is the text number. John, my brother-in-law's... grammar error going on here, but as it's a text, I'm going to forgive it. My brother-in-law, essentially, is a builder, John, and they all drink herbal tea. See, the builder world is being shattered before my very eyes. What does that say? Oh my God, I must learn how to text. And that's from L. Technically, L, you have, because you've just texted that. Bit weird. Okay. Last night, well, I was going to say this earlier before I got into the builder thing, but last night, it was Halloween, of course, I watched a programme on Channel 5. That was simply called Ghosts on the Underground. Because it was quite interesting. And I knew I had to go on the Underground today, so I wanted to know if I was going to be scared. And it was quite an interesting program. I'm not going to talk about ghosts, necessarily, because we've done that on this... when I've sat in here before, and I know all week James has been doing it stuff. So, what I thought was interesting about it was they had the cameras down a load of places in London, under London, in old tunnels. Partly to do with the tube and partly the service tunnels and stuff, that I thought was quite fascinating. Because I am fascinated by underground stuff, even though I'm quite claustrophobic. And when I was a kid, we used to go to the Peak District and stuff, and I'd find caves and stupidly go in them without, you know, when I was about 10, which is probably wrong. But, and, you know, it also would have got me into terrible trouble had my parents found out, but we used to sneak off. But anyway... That aside, I've always been quite fascinated by sort of underground stuff, and certainly underground London is very interesting. Because, and I know there are a lot of books on this that go on about old tube stations that you can't go to anymore, and bricked up tunnels and disused this, and caves and under that and tunnel this. And if you've ever been or know of secret underground London stuff, and I'm, you know, from disused stations up to... old, because of the rivers that run under London. If you've ever been down one, if you know about legends, they can be haunted, that's fine. But it's just very interested in where you can get into them, because I know there are certain exits and entrances that are hidden and secret and behind doors. And stuff. I'm very interested in that, because I just had a childhood obsession with it. But if you've ever been down any of these places or know of them or legends, get call 0870909093. I could buy a book on it, I know that. But I figure that you, being Londoners in this particular place, would know probably better than any book. So 0870 90 90 973, if you know anything about underground London-y stuff, because to me, that's quite interesting. There's when I was a kid, there was a place called Thor's Cave, actually. Not in London, obviously. It was in Derbyshire. And we went in Thor's Cave once. When, again, very young, about 14, and it supposedly closed off at the back, and my parents let me go in because they knew that it was just went into sort of a cave that went in, and they knew it ended about 20 feet in, and that, you know, with a load of rubble, and that was fine because it was a big entrance. But me and my friend Kev went in there because we were away with my parents, and we found a way through at the back that wasn't even supposed to be there, and went off wandering down these tunnels with a torch, which we really probably shouldn't have done. It was probably very dangerous indeed. But from that, and I was very young, and it kind of fascinated me, this whole thing of places you aren't supposed to go or know about. So, underground London is my question, because, you know, I watched that programme last night. There were ghosts on the tube. I came away thinking, it was about midnight, I was sort of going, oh, I've got a girl on the tube tomorrow. That's quite frightening. And a lot of it was. I don't know if anyone saw it. Perhaps you saw it. David is in Southgate. Hello.
Hello, John. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm calling to speak to you for the first time.
Are you?
Yeah, I speak to Ian a few times. I was speaking to you, but anyway, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Welcome to you as well.
Thank you very much.
Welcome to us both.
It was just a quickie. I used to live in Golders Green, and I don't think it was an urban myth, but there was a story about a train that crashed. I think it was around the turn of the century, certainly before 1910, something around that period.
Yeah.
And they could hear the ghost train every year on the anniversary.
They could hear it?
Yeah, well, you know, the emulation, the sound of it crashing, the people screaming. It went round the area for many, many, many years.
Yeah.
As a kid, I'd heard about it. I never heard it myself, though there were funny noises. We were quite nearby the tunnel, but it was the tunnel, I think, from Golders Green to Hampstead. It was certainly around there. It was closed up afterwards. I don't know if anyone's got any information on it, but it's certainly something we heard as kids, and it's just kind of a very interesting story.
Yeah, so the tunnel section itself, you think, is closed up now, so the tunnel they use now is a different tunnel?
I believe so. So if anyone knows about it, I'd love to hear.
Yeah.
It's kind of something I heard as a kid and never really kind of followed it up, but it was something went around the area, and as kids we've heard the story and believed it to be true.
Well, it is interesting, isn't it? Because you do hear about these stories of these disused tunnels in London. I mean, there are a lot of disused stations now, aren't there? That they don't use anymore, that were used as air raid shelters and so on and so forth, and all these bricked up. And apparently, I can't remember what line it's on, but someone may. So if you do, give us a call. You can, if you look out of the windows, because you know when you're on the tube, you sort of look out of the windows and you don't see, you know, all you can see is wires and the reflection. So, but apparently in certain places on the tube, you can go through, and if you look out the windows, you can go, you see disused stations, and you can look at them and you can see them. And apparently that's true. If you know anything about that, because now I'm quite interested. It was just because I watched this thing last night. That's essentially it. I'd watched The Secret Policeman's Ball. I'd watched that, because it was on Channel 4. I noticed in the credits they'd spelt my name wrong, which I was a bit annoyed about. Yeah. Agent Chris. You went to it?
Yeah.
You went to Secret Policeman's Ball?
Managed to get a ticket?
Yeah.
Last minute?
Yeah. Where from? I thought I was sold out.
Oh, it was just lying about.
Yeah.
Outside.
Yeah. Picked it off the floor.
I wish I hadn't told you now.
Thanks. Who did you like best there?
Ooh, Eddie Izzard was good.
He was good, wasn't he?
They didn't show him, did they?
Yeah, last night.
Oh, they did.
They did. Do you know what? Eddie Izzard came on last at the actual concert. The actual gig,
exactly.
Didn't he? First last night.
That's why I missed it.
Too weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it didn't. It was a bit weird. The edit, I thought, a bit strange.
It was totally in the wrong order.
Yeah, all of it. But you know, it was good. It was, you know, it's good for a good cause. I got abused by a dwarf there. I'll tell you about that another time. Not physically. I mean, just harangued by one that was because there were dwarves in the show. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I was talking about trains. I don't know how we got onto that. Because I watched the programme last night, that's why. If you saw it on Channel 5, you'll have noticed that there was this whole thing about ghosts on the underground. But what fascinated me about it was just these whole areas of underground that no one knows about anymore. Call us 08709090973. If you know anything about what's underneath the streets of London. As I say, I watched a programme on Channel 5 last night called Ghosts of the Underground. Ghost part aside, what was fascinating about it was all these closed stations, tunnels and stuff that not many people know about. 08709090973. And another number is 08709090973. Hello, I'm John Holmes. I'm sitting in for Mr. Ian Lee, who's off. If you're interested, it says here on a text, this is from Tony on the A23. If you're interested, there's a set of DVDs that travel end-to-end on each underground tube line. And through the real-time journey, they give you all the stories and show you all the old stations. For example, there's a station called Bull and Bush between Golders and Hampstead. That could be the old tunnel that we were hearing about a moment ago. See? I didn't know about that, and I am interested in that, Tony. Actually, I had no idea there would be. I mean, I suppose that would get a bit boring in real time, sitting through all of the tube lines. I mean, that's going to get pretty boring. But do they? Yeah, but if they go through old tunnels that's all closed off and a bit weird, then I'm interested. Not necessarily, you know, I'd sit on the bloody Bakerloo line anyway, That goes on. Hammersmith and City. This go on for... I don't need a DVD of it. Pete is in Camden. Hello, Pete.
Hello there. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you this afternoon?
Very good. Very average. What's life?
It's all right. It's, you know, based on sort of carbon DNA molecules. How's yours?
Very good. Very good. Yeah, I called in about this thing that you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, that's handy. Go on.
I don't know how this relates, but I've seen a film that talks about all this stuff. Do you know about Hawksmoor?
Hawksmoor?
Yeah, the architect, Hawksmoor.
No, I don't. Tell me.
He built all these churches after the Great Fire of London.
Right.
And they say he's got sort of tunnels underneath the churches, etc. And they sort of attract evil, etc. You know, they're sort of written about in books. His novels been written about his churches. And they're all built on ancient plague burial grounds.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's one in Whitechapel. It had all the Jack the Ripper murders happen near there. It's Christchurch, Spitalfields. Do you know the one I mean?
Yeah, yeah, I do know that, yeah.
And I've just seen a film about it as well. So that's kind of, I saw it at a film festival that talked about all this stuff.
Can you usefully remember the name of it?
It had David Soul in it.
It had David Soul in it.
It had...
David Soul?
I saw it at a film festival. It was the Fright Fest Film Festival in Leicester Square.
Oh, yeah.
And, Puritan. That's it.
Puritan.
That's David Soul.
I'm going to write it down. I'm going to write it down. Hang on.
And
Puritan.
It's about this medium who lives in this house.
Yeah.
And basically, he's a con artist, but it turns out he lives in this house that Hawksmoor built. And there's all sorts of underground tunnels that connect it to another time dimension and all this kind of stuff. It's all based on fact. This guy Hawksmoor actually was an architect who... He basically, what he did was, he built all these old churches on plague burial sites.
Right.
You're not meant to
do. When was it he built these things?
Straight after the Great Fire of London. About 50 or 60 years after the Great Fire of London.
Okay.
He was, because I've read a lot about him, and he's like Christopher Wren's protege.
Okay.
And he basically, what he did, he built these churches on top of plague burial ground.
Yeah.
And they had tunnels, and they say he was a pagan secretly.
Right.
Because in pagan temples, what you're meant to do is, you're meant to build on human, as a temple, on a place where you sacrifice someone's, you know, an innocent or something.
Right. Yeah.
A virgin, I suppose.
A virgin, yeah. Yeah, that, it's in today's London, Pete, that's a tricky order, isn't it? where the hell, we'd all like to find one, Pete. But where are you going to find a virgin now?
Oh, my girlfriend's a virgin.
Is she? That says more about you than her, Pete, doesn't it, to be honest? Don't you think?
And he built all these temples, these pagan, well, these churches.
Yeah.
And if you look at the, you know, like a church steeple, it's a spire, isn't it? It's like a circular thing.
Yeah, well spotted.
But if you look at a Hawksmoor thing, they're all obelisks.
Right.
And obelisks are ancient pagan symbols of, well, fertility, let's say. So, you know, and he built, there's supposedly tunnels under these churches,
right,
as well.
Pete, but just, Pete, don't mean to be rude, but to be honest, what would you know about fertility, given
well,
that your girl, what would you know about fertility, given that your girlfriend's a virgin?
Well, you know, she's a virgin at heart, is what I like to think.
Right, okay, right. It doesn't grow back, you know.
Well, I'm not complaining.
Okay. Just one. Anyway, the idea of tunnels under these churches.
Yes.
Tunnels
for a pagan sacrifice.
Right, so they're not just. That's what they're doing. That's what happened in them, apparently.
Yeah, exactly.
See, I like that. I'm fascinated by that. I live in Kent, and in Canterbury, right, where there's the cathedral, obviously, and there's rumours of all sorts of tunnels that go from the pubs around the outside of the town into and out of the cathedral crypts and stuff, where people used to escape. A friend of mine used to have used to run a pub in Canterbury, and I went down there, and he said, look, come down to the cellar, because there's clearly this tunnel, and there was, that goes in the direction of the cathedral, but it's bricked off. And I was trying to make him, let's smash the bricks down and go down the tunnel.
Fantastic.
And he wouldn't let me.
Why not?
I don't know. He was just going, no, I can't. I'm only the landlord. I don't own it. It can't be, you know, we're getting all sorts of trouble. I'm going, no, come on, who's going to know? Let's take some bricks out. He's going, yeah, what if it's a supporting wall? It's not a supporting wall. Let's just knock it out. Let's try and get down. Because I love all that stuff. Absolutely
it's fantastic.
Fascinating.
All those tunnels also, they could be for smuggling as well, couldn't they? I mean, I suppose they...
Certainly down there. Yeah, certainly down there. But the idea... So which churches do you think these tunnels are under? Because if they are, I'd like to go down there and I'd like someone to...
Well, there's one that's just been renovated in Holborn, High Holborn, which is a Hawksmoor church as well.
Yeah.
Right? And which is just behind the British Museum.
Yeah.
And also the Christchurch Spitalfields one.
Right.
Which is a big one. And you know what they also say about Hawksmoor churches? If you get a map and you draw a line from all the churches that he built, it forms a pentagram.
No way. That's
Seriously.
Not true.
No, absolutely.
Well, let's get a map.
Well, I don't have a map.
Can we get, Chris, can we get a map?
Get a map.
Maybe.
Can we get a map?
I'll have a look.
Chris is going to try and find a map, so I'm going to do
can
that.
Get a map, yeah. And, you know, if you, there was a book called Hawksmoor, which is a fiction book.
Yeah.
By a novelist called Peter Ackroyd.
Okay.
And that was a very good, and he goes on about this kind of stuff, and he talks about it. And,
I'm writing this down as well. Peter Ackroyd.
Peter Ackroyd, very famous novelist.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Have you heard? Because if you're interested in all this kind of stuff, he wrote a book called The Biography of London, which tells you all about these kind of things.
Ah, you see, there you go. So this is why I love LBC, because, you get this information, because people listening, that's you, know this stuff. And I sit here going, well, I don't know this stuff. Where can I find this stuff? And you tell me, and I love that.
You'd love it. I'll tell you what, because it's ideal, I don't mean this big, ideal toilet reading, that book. Because it's massive, and it goes on, so it lists the subject like food in London, and it'll tell you all the trends of food, all dating 2,000 years back. And what they used to eat, and ghosts of London, and murder in London, and tunnels in London, all that kind of stuff.
Actually,
you'd love that book.
I would love that book. I'm going to ask what I'm going to put it on my Christmas list.
Yeah.
Do you know, speaking of Christmas lists and toilet reading, why is it, Pete, do you think that, or is it, am I wrong, is it just men who go to the toilet and have to have something to read?
Yes, because women don't like to pretend that, what I'm saying is, they don't like to make it, to have people feel they smell. That's my theory anyway.
What do you mean?
Well, all they like doing is camouflaging themselves, isn't it? I mean, women. I don't mind. Oh, she does perfume, this and that.
Yeah.
And
this is your this is your virgin girlfriend.
This is my virginal bride.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, I think we like to sit in there because it's a beautiful thing going into the toilet.
Well, I mean, I've heard men before go, well, do you know what? It's the only bit of peace I can get and stuff like that. But so much for that's necessarily true. But what it is, I mean, let's be honest, you know, it's okay, it's 20 to 4, that's fine. Let's be honest about this, though. If you need to go, and I'm talking about a gentleman sitting down toilet, if you do, I have been, and I think the expression, Pete, is touching cloth.
Yes, oh my God.
Before now, but I still haven't gone until I found something I want to read. And what's more, I've gone, oh, I really need to go, but obviously I want to sit down for a while. I'm going to take something to read, and I've done this. And I look round and I go, I'll take that. The first magazine you come to, and you go, oh no, do you know what? I don't fancy reading the Sunday Times magazine. What I want Viz or something. So you look round and you waste time while you really need to go looking for the right thing to read. Is that just men?
No, I take a selection. You might get bored with one thing.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly.
And then halfway through, you know when I go, it's like ascending Nirvana to me, going to the loo. You have a moment of absolute tranquility, don't you, Dave?
You do, actually.
You know, let's not beat around the bush or whatever.
No, I can't quite work out how we've gone from tunnels to, to that. But I'm glad we have, because it's interesting. Well, if there are any women out there who take something to read to the toilet, and it's not just men, it can't just be us. 0870 90 90 973, I think, Pete. But thank you very much. You've opened my eyes to many things there, Pete. Strange.
Well, fantastic. Go and read that book and watch that.
I will, and give your girlfriend one from us.
I will.
Okay, thanks, Pete.
I'll be thinking about you tonight.
not while you're doing it. That's just
of course.
That's too weird.
In the toilet, maybe not. I mean, with a girlfriend, sorry.
At least think about Steve Allen while you're doing that. At least that's going to delay the moment.
Or Nick Ferrari,
yes. Yeah. You know. It's a good... Yes. Actually, I'll tell you a good... Well, before you go, Pete, I'll tell you a good tip. Yes. You know that, as I believe Alan Partridge once said, if you want to keep the wolf from the door during that time, a good technique, I know a lot of people count backwards and people think of cricket teams, but a good way to delay the moment is to sort of mentally call up the visual images of LBC presenters.
Really?
Start with Nick Ferrari.
Nick Ferrari always does it.
And go through the day. And then by the time, you get to sort of, Clive Bull or the evenings and stuff, then you can probably, you'd be all right. But, just
I'll
do
put,
that.
I'll, I'll bear that in mind.
Some advice for you, Pete. Marvellous. Go away now.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye, good. Pete in Camden there, opening up what can only be a can of worms. Tunnels, things under London. Now I want to know if anybody reads in the toilet apart from me and Pete, because it's slightly distasteful for an afternoon, but it's now cropped up and I can't ignore the elephant in the room, as I believe they say. So if you, but if you're a woman, does your other half, do they go and read in the toilet? Is it annoying how, you know, you have to take the right thing. You have to take the right thing into the toilet. Okay. Callers, 0870-9090-973.
Have the latest from the Travel Centre and the M4.
John Holmes. What an excellent prize that is. I think it's testament to this show, when I sit in for Ian, that what we've got to give away is essentially an LBC mug. Tony in Croydon. Hello.
Hello. What it is, I don't know anything about ghosts in tunnels, even though I've been in England since I was the age of 8.
Where were you before that?
I was in the Caribbean.
Okay.
On a small island.
Yes,
in
called?
The 1940s.
What was the island called?
St. Vincent.
Okay, yeah, you haven't, I know it, yeah.
Yeah, and there used to be huts made out of mud. That doesn't mean to say all houses are made out of mud huts.
No.
There's some skyscrapers and things.
Made out of mud?
Yes.
Skyscrapers?
No, there are also some skyscrapers.
Oh, okay, not made out of mud. That'd be just dangerous.
Yeah. But there were some mud huts, and people used to perform ceremonies there, and my mother always told me not to go near there.
Is this...
And whenever I went there, John,
yes,
I had such an awful feeling I would vomit. You know, it was so sickening, and that means...
Weirdly, Tony, I'm the same with Garfunkel's restaurants.
Oh, right. I don't know there. I don't eat out.
Okay.
And also... What was I going to say?
No.
Well,
the mud hut, these mud huts are in the Caribbean, not in...
In the Caribbean.
Not London.
But people think, people have an attitude that all of us lived in mud huts. We lived in a brick building, a stone building near the sea.
Right.
And the people who worship there...
Yes.
And have their religion were lepers, and you don't get leprosy anymore.
No, well, you do. You do, Tony.
You do?
You do still get lepers here.
Do you? Yeah. Parts of Africa?
No, in London.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, you do. No, you do. But what they do with it, it's weird. I think it's such a coincidence you brought that up. Because what they do with lepers now, if you catch leprosy.
Yeah.
Which you can do from cats.
Yeah. I haven't got any cats.
Well, good, because you won't get leprosy then. But you can catch leprosy from cats, because, you know, like, you've heard of bird flu.
Yeah.
Well, cat leprosy is sort of, it doesn't get as much press as bird flu, because it's not as glamorous.
Mm.
But you can get cat leprosy, and people who have cats have to be injected, Tony, with a vaccine now against leprosy. But if you get leprosy, what they do, they actually put, and this is what I'm interested in, Tony, because there are a lot of tunnels under London, old disused stations, and what they do, they put lepers in there now. Because leprosy is very contagious.
Yeah.
They put lepers in disused tube stations. That's where they keep them now.
Isn't that awful?
Isn't it? It is. It is shocking, actually.
Very cruel.
There are a lot of charities that are trying to get this. Not many people know about it, Tony, and a lot of charities are now trying to get this into the fore,
put them in the hospital.
Well, at least they should be in the hospital, shouldn't they? The very least.
They should be in a home where they can be looked after.
Well, a leper home.
Yeah, that's it.
But instead, they just put them in disused underground stations, Tony.
What else was I going to say? The fact is that you feel that their ghost is their spirit that's left behind.
Yes.
You ought to read two books, Thomas Brown.
I'm getting a lot of list of books today.
Unburial.
Unburial?
Urne.
Urne.
But it's in Old English. It's very difficult to read.
Oh, okay.
And Sir Thomas Brown, Unburial.
Yeah.
And Fraser, The Golden Bough. You read that?
The Golden Bough?
Bough, B-O-U-G-H.
I was going to say, otherwise that'd be good toilet reading.
Well, the only reason why people read in toilets, I used to.
Do you not now?
Because it's a form of meditation.
Yeah, well, actually, Tony, that's a very good point. It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a form of meditation, I suppose.
Yeah. I used to, when I worked in factories, have a book and... go into the toilet and read. Sometimes I would draw in the toilet.
You would draw. You're not one of these people who writes on the wall, on the cubicle door, are you?
No, I never did that.
No.
There used to be a man who was in charge there, the managing director.
Yeah.
And someone was drawing all kinds of lewd and, what could you use on the radio?
Yeah, you probably can't use any of those words.
Yeah,
but I think we know what you mean, Tony.
Yeah, and he said, anyone wants to go to an art school can see me, but it wasn't me.
Yeah, but not many people at art school would probably draw, let's face it, crude drawings of genitalia in their own excrement, which is what you get in toilets, would they? Unless you're Tracy Emin, you're not going to get into art school with that.
But there was a man who did that, you know.
What?
Excrement was sold in a can for £800 at Sotheby's, an Italian artist.
Really?
Yes. No word of a lie. I can't remember his name.
It wasn't Garfunkel's based food.
I don't know. He went out and he had an expensive Italian meal.
Yeah.
And then he deposited excrement.
Yeah. And put it in a can.
Yeah, and soldered it up and some rich man bought it.
That's quite...
awful, isn't it?
That's quite odd.
Also, John Lennon's toilet brush was sold in an auction.
Tony, you're full of interesting information.
Yeah, unfortunately.
How much did it go for, the toilet?
Sorry?
Do you know how much the toilet brush went for?
I don't know, no, I never found it. I just saw it in the paper, it was sold. I think it was brass or something like that.
Well, you'd want it to be, wouldn't you? You wouldn't want John Lennon to have some sort of plastic thing from Wilkinson's for a pound or something.
No, you wouldn't, would you?
So why don't you read in the toilet anymore, Tony?
Huh?
Why don't you read in the toilet anymore?
I can't seem to. I've read an awful lot of books.
You can't have read all books, Tony.
Huh?
You can't have read all books.
I haven't read all books, but I've done a lot of reading.
Yeah.
But I get The Sun. I used to read The Guardian, but I can't afford it. I get The Observer every so often when I can afford it.
Okay. Tony, can you just hold on there for me?
Yeah.
Don't go away, because you're literally fascinating. But just don't go away, Tony, is all I'm saying.
How many times have you said...
It is John Holmes sitting in for Mr. Ian Lee. Tony's still on the phone. Still there, Tony?
Yeah, good. That's right,
good. Mate. It's a pleasure to talk to you, of course. I was going to... I can't remember where we got to there.
I can't remember.
You can't remember either.
The thing is, also...
Yeah?
I had my leg amputated against my will, left leg.
Against your will?
Yes.
Well, how did that happen?
Well, I was taken to a hospital and put to sleep, and they asked me to sign something, and I...
Well, didn't you... I mean, you said you read loads of books. Did you not read the form?
I couldn't. I was too drugged.
They made you read the form while... They drugged you, and then made you sign the form while you were drugged, not the other way around. You'd think, wouldn't you, that
yes,
that'd be... They'd say, if you can have your leg off...
Yeah,
so, what did you go in for? A splinter or something, and then you...
No, I had, like, an infection in my toe.
And they took off your whole leg?
Above the knee, yes. The thing is about that...
It wasn't leprosy, was it, Tony?
No, it wasn't. The thing is about that, I'm an artist by trade.
Okay.
And I did a picture in 96, and the amputation happened in 2002.
Right.
And before I did it, I did a pink man establishing a Caucasian or English or German or European with bits of feet cut up, pinned to a wall in the picture, and it actually happened to me.
Bits of feet cut
cut
up and pinned to a wall?
Yeah.
What man was this who commissioned that?
No one commissioned it, I just did it.
You just painted a picture of a European man with lots of feet... behind him, pinned to the wall.
Yeah.
Right. Have you seen the film Saw?
No, never. I never go out much because of my illness.
Well, I suppose you can't. You have to hop.
No, I'd like to see it, though.
It's good. It's Saw. The Saw 1, Saw 2, Saw 3 just came out this week. But that is about, sort of, you know, you'd like that. If you like painting pictures of people with feet drilled to the wall behind them, you'd probably like that film.
Yeah.
So what, you think you just painted that because you had a sort of premonition of you having your leg
off. At the time when I did it, I didn't know this was going to happen to me. And I'm not a man who believes too much in clairvoyance.
No.
You know, but it actually happened. That, so it must have been a kind of like a premonition, well, as you say.
Yeah. God, yeah. When I was at school, I once drew a drawing of a man, of a European man.
Yeah.
With a load of, like, eyes.
Yeah.
Glued to the fridge behind him. Yeah. So what could happen to me is that in some years to come now, someone could take out my eyes.
Possibly. I wouldn't like that to happen to you, John.
Well, thanks for saying that, Tony. But someone could take them out and glue them to a fridge. And by your criteria, that might come true.
Well, don't dwell on it too much.
Okay, I won't then. Instead, we'll go to news. This is who I am, sitting in for Mr. Ian Lee, who's off detained in a fight. 0870 90 90 973. Text us 84850. That's for the Mystery Voice competition, but I'll get into that in a moment. We'll launch it properly. You can also email this afternoon, homes@lbc.co.uk. Got some text coming in here, which, like a presenter might, I will read to you now with my voice. Go on. Could you do Taxi Driver Challenge, please? Because it might work today. That's from Ryan in Battersea, clearly a long-time listener. It refers to a game I've done before involving taxi drivers and roundabouts, but we're not going to do that, Ryan, because it rarely works and he's quite poor, as I'm sure you know. I take my guitar to the toilet when I go. That's from Dave in Watford. That's commitment. Dave, do you write songs in there, or do you just practice, or do you do cover versions? Just interested. Why'd you take your guitar? I suppose you're sitting down, you rest it on your knee. More information, Dave, in Watford, please. I take my laptop to the toilet. That's from Richard. I've got a friend, actually, Andy. He takes his laptop to the toilet. Used to take a book, used to read like the rest of us. Now he's got Wi-Fi, goes to the toilet, takes his laptop, puts it literally on his lap while he's doing what he needs to do, and surfs the internet while he's... Bit weird, I think. I mean, maybe lots of people do that. Clearly, Richard, who's texted in, and my friend Andy does. Maybe you do as well, I don't know. Or just, actually, someone did call up and say, can you choose your... When you're talking about this topic, John, can you choose your words carefully, because me and my family are eating. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. What are you doing eating dinner? So we're eating dinner, John. Can you not talk about... Who eats dinner at 4 o'clock in the afternoon? What a stupid... Apparently, if you're eating dinner at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you deserve to be made to feel a bit ill by me talking about a toilet. No one eats dinner at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's stupid. So if you're still listening, put the dinner down and eat it at about 6 or 7 like most normal people. Stupid. In fact, no better than that, take the dinner to the toilet, eat it off your lap while you're doing the toilet. Which actually is weird. And speaking of which, this is... who's this from? This is from Terry on the Old Kent Road. Hi, John. I have a... spelt my name wrong, by the way, Terry. It's not got an H in it, it's just J-O-N. Thanks. Hi, John. I have a sandwich and a magazine to read. When I go to this, he actually says when I'm having a dump. But, you know, I'm not going to read that out because of the people that are eating their dinner. But I have a sandwich and a magazine to read. Now, by that written like it is, that suggests that he has a sandwich to read and a magazine to read. I'm not sure that's strictly true. But he has a... But how do you do... You can't... If you're... How am I going to put this politely? If you're expelling what you've previously eaten, what's the point in filling it up while you're doing that with more food? I couldn't eat and have a poo. I couldn't do that. That's too invasive. That's too weird for me. Maybe you'd... I don't know. 08709090973. Rachel in Dartford. Hello.
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 Yes, so I take a book.
But hello. No.
Hello.
Before we go on, how are you? I like to be polite.
I'm fine.
How are you?
How are you?
I'm all right. So you had a nice day?
Yeah, it's been okay.
What have you been doing?
I've been at work.
What did you do?
I work in a calf.
A calf?
Yes.
Are you spelling that C-A-F-F?
No, C-A-F-E.
That's a cafe, isn't it?
No, it's a calf.
A calf. Fair. And what's your shift times there?
7 till 2.
Seven till two?
Yes.
Early morning breakfast? Yeah. What sort of customers do you get?
Builders who read The Sun.
Builders who read The Sun. See, we don't just throw this programme together. Rachel, it all comes full circle, doesn't it? I've got another text here saying, John, I'm a builder. I read The Independent.
Ah.
In your experience, Rachel, of builders in your CAF in the morning, mm-hmm. anyone read anything other than The Sun?
The Star, The Sport.
Of course they do. Are they reading them, Rachel, or are they looking at the nudie ladies?
They're looking at the nudie ladies.
They are, aren't they? Yeah.
Definitely.
Very popular with builders. Have you not considered turning your early morning CAF into a topless CAF?
No, it wouldn't be very good.
Why not?
Not at all. Not with the staff we have now.
Well, I'm not saying, you know, that the staff you've currently got necessarily, I mean, you know them better than I, could do it, but you could hire...
We could. Attractive... We could also have some of the customers doing it, because they're quite tasty.
There you go. I'm just saying, you know your market, Rachel. Know your market. If you've got builders that like looking at the pictures in The Star and The Sport, why not go, well, I see that, and they're coming in here to read that, but what I could do, I get more builders in if I open a topless breakfast calf. I don't think, Rachel, there are probably any of them. You could be the first.
That's it. Well, you might get a bit of burning on certain areas, though, mightn't you, when you're cooking? And
well, it depends how low they hang, Rachel.
That's it.
Doesn't it? Really, I suppose. Or how high your cooker might be.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, maybe you just need to employ, you know, the right person. It's just a suggestion. I'm just trying to help.
Okay, really. I'll put it to the manager.
Why don't you put, if you could, and say I suggested, by all means, you know, use the name of LBC 97.3.
Right.
And I can guarantee you that if you open the capital's first topless breakfast builder calf, you'll probably get on LBC News. They're desperate for stories.
Oh, right. Well,
you'd probably get some good PR out of it.
There you go.
Just trying to help. So, Rachel, you take a book to the toilet.
A magazine
to the toilet.
Yeah. We actually have a newspaper rack in our toilet.
Oh, that's good. See, that more places should do that. Because how often are you out? Has your calf got a public toilet angle to it? Or do you allow customers to use?
Yeah, it's got a public toilet. You can come in and use it, you know.
Does that have the magazine rack in it?
No, not so much. More at home.
Oh, I see. Right.
We do occasionally find newspapers in the toilet.
You see, when you're out and about, I've got a friend called Alan, right, who now works, used to work for Sky News,
mm-hmm.
right, and he now works for Al Jazeera. He's moved to Doha, okay,
right.
And he will not go for, let's say, a gentleman's number two
mm-hmm.
anywhere other than home.
No, I won't.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you see, because ladies are clean, and I accept that. But Alan, most people do, you know, most people will, but he won't, he refuses to do it. He'll hold on till he gets home. And this conversation cropped up, and he said, well, it's not because I haven't got anything to read, although that is important, but it is because of, I can't do that in a public toilet. But he does, but he claims that it's not a reading thing. He says it's more of a, a hygiene issue. But I'm going to come back to this. Don't go away, Rachel, because I know you've got more to say on this.
Okay.
Okay, stay right there. It's LBC 97.3.
What new area?
Listen, moron! It says here, my children are not stupid, and neither am I. They... That's just a grammatical error. They into bed at 7, so they can hardly eat their dinner at 7 p.m. Well... Okay, this is in response to a call we had earlier, in case you weren't listening. Someone phoned up and said that because I was talking about people on the toilet and whether you read or not, I don't really know, I can't remember how we got into it, we just did, it was an accident, so I apologise, but we did. And someone was eating, my children are eating their dinner, it was 4 o'clock, and I thought it was too early. But, you know, maybe I'm wrong. I still think it's too early, though. I think they could probably eat dinner at 5:30. You know, when I was a kid and used to go to bed, be forced into bed at 7, 5:30 was about right. Have your dinner, watch a bit of telly, watch Ludwig, the 5-minute cartoon before the news, or Barber Papa, perhaps, or Ivor the Engine, watch that, clean your teeth, go to bed. What's wrong with that? 4 o'clock is too early for dinner, sorry. For children. It is. John, eating and pooing at the same time, that's just plain nasty. Yes, it is. That's from Tanya in Camden, which was my argument. I think it is. Someone who eats a sandwich while they're having... The text is wrong. How can you do that? Because it's two completely different sensations. Rachel, sorry to keep you waiting there.
That's okay.
That's all right. So we established that you have this topless calf that I suggested you should do. But you, as a girl, and this is the whole point of this, I think this is rare. it's usually men that read on the toilet. But you, as a lady one, read on the toilet.
Yeah, definitely. It's a concentration type thing, isn't it?
Is it?
Definitely. Yeah, so you can concentrate. You know, you take your mind off of the dirty stuff that you're doing, and you can concentrate on reading nice things.
Yeah, well, I suppose so. Yeah, but you still have to sort of, not concentrate, but you kind of have to be aware of it, otherwise it's going to come out, you're not going to, you know, it's going to be a surprise, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose so.
So you still have to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
But, you know, we as men, I'd say this, Rachel, we read on the toilet because, for one, I realise this has gone a bit scatological, but for one ablution, if you like, I'm just trying to keep this polite, Rachel.
Right.
For one ablution, we, as gentlemen, we sit down and stand
the
up for the
time
other.
You get to.
But you get to sit down for both.
Yeah.
Now, would you read on the other one? You read on both occasions?
Yeah.
Now, how long, Rachel, honestly, does a wee last?
Not long, and long enough to read a couple of bits of gossip about someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
If you hadn't finished the bit of gossip about someone, I will give you an example.
I don't know, a bit of gossip about Jordan or Victoria Beckham
right.
or someone.
If you hadn't finished the bit of gossip about Jordan.
Yeah.
Right, and you're reading it, but your wee has finished.
I still carry on reading.
That's my question. You've answered my question.
There you go.
Until you finish the article, and only
of
then
course.
Do you,
Of course.
Do you leave?
Gets me out of doing housework then as well.
You start doing housework. If you had a long enough duster with on a handle.
Yeah.
You know those ones you get like Ken Dodds?
Yeah.
You could do the housework from the toilet, Rachel.
Oh, don't tell my other half that because he'll have me doing that, you say.
Again, I'm just trying to help.
You're very helpful.
Thanks very much. Thanks very much. I'm glad. You are our first female caller who admits to reading on the toilet, and I'm glad it's not just men, because we all thought it was, but you've put it straight. Thank you, Rachel.
You're welcome.
Let me see if Kaylee, who's calling from Dagenham, agrees with that. Kaylee, hello.
Hello, John.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Are you calling me from a toilet?
No, I'm not, unfortunately. I'm calling you from my bedroom because I've got a lot of children downstairs and they're noisy. But first of all, I want to say I love your programme.
Oh, bless you for saying.
It's really enjoyable.
Thanks very much. Do you listen to Ian normally?
I do, and I love Ian.
Yeah, he's lovely, isn't he?
I can't fault him, but it's a good standing.
Oh, thanks.
You get the top marks.
Thanks very much. Coming, Kaylee, top marks are regarded highly around here, I can tell you. So
well,
for that,
they should be.
For that, bless your heart. And you're very kind to say. How old are you, Kaylee, if you don't mind me asking?
Am I what, sorry?
How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, God, I'm too old.
You don't, I mean, roughly?
38.
So, it's about the right age. No, it's not. It's not the right age at all.
No, I know
what
you're coming from.
You know what I'm going to say, don't you?
I am. I'm in that age group, but he listens to me, and yeah.
You know what I'm going to say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I read on the toilet.
You read on the toilet?
Yes.
What do you read?
Mostly books, because I'm quite an intelligent person, but...
I could tell that. I could tell that from you. You know, who wouldn't be who listens to Ian? Let's be honest. You're not going to get any mental idiots listening to Ian... Oh, hang on.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from.
Yeah. So, what book are you reading at the moment?
Do you know, I've just finished, but so I went out shopping.
Yep.
And I bought... Oh, my God, what's that boy? The History Boys.
Oh, yeah. The Alan Bennett thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love Alan Bennett.
Yep.
I also bought,
I was sharing a pot of Earl Grey with Thorin.
Alan Bennett is a god.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah.
He's very good. Also, what did I get? Oh, God. Tony Parsons. That's so shameful.
Tony Parsons.
I know, I'm sorry, but he is good at what he does.
Which is what?
Yeah, but he's still good at what he does.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you just need a bit of light, you know.
But it's interesting that you're going to read, you read books. On the toilet, because I do, you know, and I know a lot of friends, because we've had this discussion, a lot of people do, but these are books that aren't novels, like you're suggesting.
Oh, no, I do read serious books as well.
Well, not even that, but on the toilet, most people read those sort of ones you can dip in and out of, you know, like...
Oh, yeah, because you don't know how long you're going to be in there.
Well, exactly. But as we just heard a moment ago from Rachel, she would finish a thing, she would... I get the impression that if she started a novel, you know, perhaps if she picked up, you know, Tolstoy, or maybe she picked up, an Ibsen play...
Been there for years.
Appropriately for this show. Maybe she picked up Ghosts by Ibsen, right? Because we were talking about Ghosts.
I've been making notes while I've been listening on the phone, and I've got to say, the only thing I disagree with Rachel is I do not read when I'm weeing.
No. Well, I think that's a bit weird as well.
Because that just... I'll be there too quick and gone.
Yeah.
I've got three children, and, you know, that's the only time I didn't get peace when I was on the toilet. There'd be someone knocking on the door going, Mummy, Mummy.
But also, Katie, don't you think that, because the whole idea of, you know, men reading on the toilet is that traditionally men take a long time to do...
Well, we can all when we want to choose our way.
I suppose so, yeah, but women sort of famously, you know, I thought till today, would just go, oh, I'm in, I'll do what I need to do, and I'm out, I don't want, you know...
No, when it comes to being crude, you know, when it comes to that sort of evolution, as you said earlier, then you need as much time as you're going to take, and
we've just got a text come in here, Kay, let me tell you, that just says, this refers to me, I think, he is overdoing this, it's disgusting, it's a shame to LBC, he is.
No, honestly, when I think back to past subjects that Ian's covered...
Well, it's only, you know, worried. I didn't even mean to... Kayleigh, I honestly didn't mean to cover this subject at all. It just cropped
it
up earlier.
It comes up.
You know, and it's a live programme, we're reacting to what the listeners are talking about.
Everyone does it.
I am simply... Exactly, Kayleigh, it's not disgusting, it's perfectly normal. I am just a conduit for people...
Embrace it.
I wouldn't advise that, that's probably unhygienic. You'd have to at least use some sort of wipe.
Or gloves.
I think we have now gone too far, actually. I'm now agreeing with the person that texts, to be honest, and I apologise for that. It was just a bit much.
Oh, my God, have I caused an uproar?
You probably have, Kayleigh, yeah, to be honest with you. I've probably gone too far myself. But I'm glad we've got two ladies, certainly, who read on the toilet. You read books, Rachel reads magazines, and I think that's... I'm glad, because it's not just me. If I'm honest, Kayleigh, I have had to go at times when I've got nothing to read, and I've... I've sat there reading the back of a shampoo bottle.
I've done that.
Yeah, see? Who does... You sort of look around going, oh, what am I going to... What? Oh, I've got nothing to read. I need something to read. Oh, look, some Radox. Brilliant. I'll read the ingredients.
How disappointing is that?
I know. Kayleigh, thanks for calling. This is LBC 97.3.
Seborrheic dermatitis is a... John
Holmes. So what happened there, then? What do we think happened there? There's a computer error, was it? Yeah. 08709090973. We're but two of the topics, at least today. One of them is certainly about underground London, because I saw a ghost programme on Channel 5 last night, and it's stuff underground. What's under London? All the tunnels and stuff. Have you ever been down one of these disused tube stations, anything like that? Give us a call, 08709090973. We appear to have got in whether a chat as to whether or not women read on the toilet as much as men do, if you have an opinion on that. Much the same number, please. Can call us this afternoon, 08709090973. You can email homes at lbc.co.uk, or you can text us on 84850. Someone who's done exactly that is Tom. Hi, John. I take my phone with me to the toilet, and I text people... And this is the interesting bit. I text people about my conquest. I'm not sure, Tom, that's the right description of it. But thanks, and I hope you did text that from a toilet. I'm learning Thai in the toilet, John, having upped my fibre intake. I have upped my fibre intake as I'm going to Thailand at Christmas. I've tried the presenter's trick, which I mentioned earlier was a good way to keep the... Alan Partridge would say the wolf from the door during sex. I'd think about LBC presenters. Anna Rayburn crept in and it was all over for me. That was Ian in St Albans. John, ghosts are just a memory... A memory. Ghosts are just a memory that a person's mind replays in times of distress, and that's why a ghost has never been captured on film or photo. That's from Greg on the M25. Whatever your theory about ghosts, Greg, I think there are... There have been ghosts captured on film or photograph. Les. Hello, Les.
Afternoon, John. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you very much. You've called in about ghosts and tunnels under London, which is the other thing I've been talking about, because I saw a Channel 5 programme last night.
Yeah, I used to go to a place out near Woodford, which is incidentally on Rod Stewart's land now.
Right.
Which has a tunnel which goes from the A11 right up to the big house, which is now more or less a wreck. And my friends and I used to take great delight in going over there ghost hunting when we were kids.
Yeah.
And not taking it very seriously. But in the 70s, I went to deliver to a pub in Essex.
Yeah.
And a guy came running out of the pub and said, oh, the window's blown out. He said, I don't know where he is. We did a lot of searching in the land and couldn't find it. Anyway, upon further investigation of the pub, I found that the flat roof that had been built around the back of the pub was full of gravestones from the graveyard. Well, it's an old Lakota Sioux belief that if you bury a person face down, their spirit's trapped.
Right.
If you bury a person face up, the spirit's free. And it's the same with gravestones. And I think that people need to have a great deal more reverence for the dead and what is actually happening now in relation to this. I mean, that programme last night was intriguing. I mean, there's buried people 6 feet under. I mean, that's been going on for thousands of years. I mean, who knows how deep they've got to go before they get free of the spirit world, never mind about the gravestones, etc.
Why is it 6 feet under, Les? Do you know? Why do we bury people six
feet? I think it's so that when they stand up, they can't get out of the grave.
What if you're 6'5"?
Yeah, well, you're only going to have 5 inches over the top. I mean,
yeah.
They're glad to the difference.
But, it's, I mean, there must be a tradition. I mean, I don't know. I'm genuinely asking. There must be a tradition of why we bury people at 6 foot.
Yeah, well, you'd have to ask the religion, the various religions for that. I mean, I myself, I believe in cremation. I don't believe in burial.
Yeah.
I think that once the body's finished with it, there's no use to anyone. And I think that the memorials that are built for the bodies, I mean, they're just, I hate to say this, but I think they're just people that are trying to hold on to a memory which is no longer there.
Yeah. So do you believe in ghosts, Les?
Oh, very much so. Yeah. I've lived with them all my life.
You've lived with them?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I have spirit guides. I'm a spirit medium. I also do healing in a church.
Oh, okay. So you don't live with them as in they're in your house or anything?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, they're in your house?
I have an ancestor that stands at the top of the stairs at 3 o'clock in the morning, make sure that nobody comes into the property, and I've seen him loads of times.
That's quite odd. Do they pay rent as they live with you, or do you just...
No, yeah. They don't take up any space. They're not there. They're just a hologram, effectively. I mean, once the material and the physical is finished with, then all there is ethereal space. And ethereal space is something where things can take many, many forms.
So when you went ghost hunting at Rod Stewart's old house...
Yeah, the place is called Copt Hall. Copt Hall.
Copt Hall.
CoptedHall.
I'm writing this down again. I'm writing loads of stuff down today.
You can see it from the M25. It's a big house just as you go underneath the M11.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I often say, because, you know, I love that. You know you go on the M25.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you drive, and you see stuff from the M25. Yeah, yeah. And you think, what on earth's that? And there's a book, I've got this now, there's a book called, something like, Round the M25. It does what it says on the cover. And it tells you all about what you go under, over, round, next to, all around the M25. It's a very good book. I recommend it.
That's an amazing place. I mean, it's pitch black inside, even though it's got no ceilings or roof.
So there's no one, who owns it now?
No, it's private property. It's not part of Rod Stewart's actual house. It's adjacent to his land.
Right.
You go on down into the cellar of the property, and you go along to the crypt of the church, and then from the church to the A11, which is about a mile and a quarter underground, there's a tunnel which goes up to a pair of bungalows that form the gatehouse for the property.
That's brilliant. Can anyone, I mean, okay, it's private property, but can anyone get in now?
Well, you can go in there, but whether they'll let you stay or not is another matter. I mean, it's very guarded. But, I mean, that place is famous for a story in the News of the World in the 60s about a bunch of students that ran away from a spirit in a fishing lake.
Right.
And ended up seeing the ghost of the prior that was falling out the top of the building. And I believe the curse was that anybody that saw the prior would die in the same way.
Right.
And I think it's been recorded, actually, that quite a few students that actually were there have died from falling from high buildings.
That's got to be nonsense, Les, hasn't it, really?
Not at all.
Really?
At all. It depends on whether your mind's open or whether it's closed.
So, this problem, I mean, we can see it from the M25, we know that. So,
if you go along the A11, if you go along the A11 from Loughton, from the Wake Arms roundabout, you come along past, you go over the M25, and about 200-300 yards on the left-hand side, there's two bungalows, Elizabethan bungalows, which are actually the gatehouses for the property.
Right, and someone lives in those, do they?
Yeah, that's the entrance to get in there.
But someone lives in those bungalows?
Yeah.
But you can't...
We actually got underneath the tunnel one night and knocked on the floorboards and frightened the life out of them.
So what I could do, if I wanted, like, tonight, for example, I could go, you know, I could, not on my own, because I'd be scared, but I could take...
I don't think you ought to.
Well, how do you actually get into the mansion itself? You have to go onto the land?
Well, you drive up to the front of the land, and how we used to have to get in was to push a corrugated iron doorway.
Yeah.
A corrugated iron barrier.
Yeah.
And then climb along a very small wall, because you're at the height of tops of 30-foot trees. I mean, the cellar is quite deep down.
Yeah.
And there's no floors or ceilings.
Right, so you have to drop in.
You have to go in along a ledge.
Yeah.
To the central hallway. And then you find a little arched doorway and it goes down the stairs into the crypt.
Into the crypt?
Yeah, it's amazing.
So when was the last time you were down there?
Oh, in broad daylight, this was about 5 years ago.
Right.
I took someone over. There's a mausoleum out in the back, which is very vampire-ish.
Yeah.
And it's
Don't tell me you believe in vampires, Les, as well.
Well, I think there's a lot of vampires masquerading as people nowadays. That's private.
No, surely not, Les. You might have gone over the line now.
Listen, they don't have to take blood. They can take your life as well.
What are they going to do with that?
Well, you'd be surprised.
I would be surprised. Les, if I was saying to you, look, take me down the mansion.
Yeah, come and meet me.
Would you be up for that?
Yeah, I'll come there. No problem.
You're not a serial killer or anything, Les, are you?
No.
That's right. You're quite, what do you do, Les, out of interest?
I'm retired.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I do ghost hunting and psychic investigation.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, you see, that's quite fascinating.
Yeah, it's an amazing life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when was the last ghost hunt you went on?
In Dover, actually, on the castle.
I know Dover Castle, yeah, I know it very well.
I'll
tell you what's...
A month ago, down in the cellar, in the war rooms.
I've got a video, this is an amateur video, of someone who was a lecturer of mine at university, and he went to do some psychic research in Dover Castle, and he set up a camera.
Yeah.
They did a vigil overnight. Yeah. And he set up a camera, various cameras in various places, and there's this big pair of oak doors, and they must have been 25 foot high, somewhere in Dover Castle. Huge, great big, ancient doors. Solid things, you know, like a foot thick. And he was sitting next to the camera, and the camera was trained on the doors, because this was supposed to be a hot spot of this sort of stuff. And he was sitting there, and all of a sudden, and the camera's just running, and he'd been there for hours, having a flask of tea, you know. All of a sudden, the door, and there's no one on the other side of it, because it leads to some, you know, wherever no one wants. The door, as though someone had just grabbed it from the other side, bear in mind how high and thick and big these doors, just rattled it like it was just a normal, you know, normal door. Rattled it, and he jumped out, you can see him on the side of the camera, jump out of his seat and just goes, what the bloody hell was that? And as he shouted, it stopped dead and that was it. But it's the eeriest thing I've ever seen on a video. And it's interesting that they've got this text saying ghosts have never been captured on video or photograph, because I think that they have, haven't they?
People of course they have seen photographs of spirits. Yeah. I went to a house one day with the woman was very, very frightened for a child.
Yeah.
And she'd taken a picture of it in the back garden, of the child in the back garden.
Yeah.
And standing next to her in full regalia was a Knight Templar with his hands on the child's shoulder.
Awesome. You should email us that.
And when we actually did some investigation,
yeah,
it turned out that the house was actually built on the church's graveyard.
Les, email us that picture and we will put
it... I'm afraid that's owned by somebody else.
I was going to put it on the website instead of Ian Lees.
It would be amazing. No.
Let's hold that thought. LBC 97.3. Hello, I'm John Holmes in for Ian Lee.
You want to buy a car, but you've got to see...
Just had a call to say that Copt Hall, which we were talking about just there before the news, is being renovated by a trust at the moment. So if I was to go down there with Len, we may get thrown out. But apparently that's the case. But they haven't been told to get out by ghosts, Len, if you're still listening. They haven't been told to get out by ghosts. It's been renovated by a trust at the moment. It's Copt Hall. There are tunnels, according to Len, that go underneath the land... Tunnelling they did beneath Rod Stewart to some bungalows on the Les, was it Les? I'll do beg your pardon. Do you know why it's Len? It's written here. Les, sorry, not Len. I'm an idiot, not him. But anyway, renovated by a trust is Copt Hall at the moment, according to someone who just called. Also, on the text, by the way, this is a toilet. We're talking about ghosts now. But tunnels and things underneath London. This is based on Channel 5 programme last night about the haunted underground. But I'm interested in tunnels and stuff, and disused stations. I think it's fascinating stuff underneath London. But also toilets have cropped up. Men read on the toilet, the women do it as well. We're learning that they do. Why don't people just wear a nappy and then they can read, shop, drive, walk, sleep or dance without interruption? And that's from Jerry Northwood. Good suggestion. I think people who need to read whilst they're doing toilet business do not feel comfortable with their own thoughts. Maybe men take ages because they want a little bit of time out if they have a partner or a family. I don't read when in the toilet, but I have played backgammon on my mobile. Okay? I have also spoken to people on my mobile, and I do these things about 10% of the time. Once I was in my dad's toilet. This is from Andrea, by the way. Once I was in my dad's toilet, and there was a computing magazine on the floor, so I picked it up and read some of it because it was there. It was an interesting read, too. Yeah, thanks very much, Andrea. The fact that you played backgammon in a toilet, Andrea, is quite weird. Graham is in Forest Hill. Hello.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm not too bad.
Good. What are you doing with your afternoon today? Anything interesting going?
Well, phoning you and holding on.
I know, sorry about that.
No,
when you say holding on, I hope you mean on the phone and not. You're not phoning me from a toilet and you've
I'm
literally
not
been
you from a toilet,
holding on to this moment. Actually, someone could... No, I don't want that. Too much. So, Graham, what do you do, Graham? Graham, with your life?
Oh, God. Do I really have to answer these personal questions?
Yep.
Well, I'm writing a book.
Oh, yeah? What on?
It's kind of about... Do you know, like, compulsive hoarders, like Mr. Treebus?
Mr. Treebus?
Yeah, he was on this documentary series about council kind of stuff, and essentially he could barely fit into his own house because he just used to bring stuff home from skips and stuff.
That's good.
And it's kind of a recognised condition. It's called compulsive hoarding.
Oh, okay.
I'm writing about a bloke who's like that, but then he becomes leader of the entire country.
Is it? Is a novel you're writing, is it?
Yeah.
Wow. You got a publisher?
No, I haven't.
No.
I mean, I'm not going to try and find one until it's written.
No, fair enough. How far are you through it?
I'm only... I'm up to chapter 7 of about... it's going to be around 20 chapters.
Okay, you got it all planned out, though? Or are you sort of...
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Yeah, there's a kind of overall structure, and I know where I'm getting to, but as you go along, you kind of... the character ends up having different thoughts to the ones that you thought of in the beginning.
I see.
And it all kind of develops as you go along, yeah.
Are you thinking this then could be a book that someone might like to read in the toilet, Graham?
Well, I'm hoping they'll like to read it anywhere. Yeah, that'd be good, yeah.
Would it be convenient? I'll be honest with you, Graham, I'm also writing a book at the moment.
Oh, right.
It's absolutely true, and it's out next May.
Oh, okay.
But I think it's perfect toilet reading.
Good.
Yeah, it's going to be, it's kind of rock and roll myths and anecdotes.
Right.
And legends and libelous stories that have never been written down before, necessarily.
If it is going to be libelous, you'll get into trouble.
I'm already talking to lawyers, and I've had to change quite a lot of it, Graham, if I'm honest with you. But I have done that, and I'm writing it. It's called Status Quo and the Kangaroo.
All right, well, I'll jot that down.
Please have a look out for that next May, why don't you?
No, I do.
That was handy to plug, wasn't it? Glad you brought it up, Graham.
I tend to get through quite a lot of books, so I'll look out for that.
Please do.
You?
I think, though, it's going to be, it really is going to be, a toilet book. You know, I have this... I've got books next to the toilet in my house that are those sort of... They're ones you can just dip into. You know, they're easy.
Yeah.
They're not novels. So I'm interested at whether people are reading novels on the toilet, because that's, you know, you get a bit caught up in those, don't you?
You don't dip them into the toilet.
Exactly. No, don't do that. No, that'd be ridiculous. But, no, you were going to say something about using a laptop.
Well, yeah, I've just got a word of advice for people that do take their laptops into toilets. You mentioned a couple of people do earlier.
Yeah.
I'll give you a brief outline of my reasoning before giving the advice.
Okay.
Essentially, when you have to do a sit-down toilet, I've been told to use my words carefully by your producer.
That is true, you should, because apparently children are eating their tea.
Yeah, well, you'll have to excuse this word. When you go, you aerosolise your doings, by which I mean you create a mucky mist. So you have particles of your poo floating around in the air. Now, we've spoken about magazines and books.
Yeah.
Generally, unless, as you say, you do keep a special toilet book, they're going to have only so much exposure. A magazine you're going to get rid of at the end of the week or the month.
Yeah.
A book you might only read for a couple of months. But if you're going in there with a laptop, which you might have for 5 years, you're going to get a certain build-up over time. So my advice is really to those people that they should log off immediately.
When you say log off?
Yeah.
Choose your words more carefully.
Okay, well...
Because what you're saying is that should be... If this... You think this is a public health hazard?
I think
it
is.
Then why not create a slogan? Why not? Let's have a slogan. Let's start it now.
Okay, don't have a khaki computer.
Don't have a khaki computer? This is how it goes. This is the slogan, Graham, that you and me have dreamt up together, right? It goes like this. Don't have a khaki computer. Log off if you log on.
Yeah, brilliant.
What about that?
I think we've done a service to the world.
That, I think that beats Microsoft and their silly logos, doesn't it?
And I think you should also be thinking of the technical support crew that might have to come round and use your filth-ridden keyboard one day, you know.
Let's,
World coming round.
Let's hold that thought.
Yeah.
Massive sale at Carpets for Less Bay.
I'm him. What they said. 08709090973 is the number. 84850. If you'd like to text us this afternoon, homes@lbc.co.uk. We are discussing, somehow, ghosts. I don't know how. Well, no, I don't know how we're doing that, because I mentioned it at the beginning, but tunnels under London and poo. You wouldn't get this anywhere else. You would not get this anywhere else. Probably with good reason. Hello, Sarah, who's in Greenwich.
Hello, John at home.
Hello, Sarah in Greenwich.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am fantastic.
Are you?
Not really.
Oh, okay. I think you probably are.
Yeah, things to do on the to read and stuff on the toilet.
Yes. Now, you're a girl, clearly. Do you read on the toilet?
Last time I checked. Not really. I do Sudoku, and I play my Game Boy.
Right. Now, you see, well, this is interesting, because it's not just reading, is it?
No.
Then, it's not just reading,
Sudoku,
you see. Now, I think men are gone down the laptop route, but you're saying Game Boy for girls now.
Yeah.
So you're going down there. It's still technological. What game would you play on your Game Boy?
Probably Tetris or Final Fantasy.
Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a weird one to play in a toilet. That's
not really.
Although Tetris, if you think about it, Sarah, if you think about how Tetris works, with things dropping from the top to the bottom to build a shape, I guess
it helps you.
You know, maybe that is. Maybe that's the equivalent. You know, when people you want to go for Wii and you turn a tap on to help.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's like that, but with Tetris.
So don't eat fibre. Just play Tetris.
Just curious and interesting. And Sudoku, you say.
Sudoku.
It's Sudoku or Sudoku, which is it?
It's Sudoku, not Sudoku.
Well, I've heard both.
It?
I don't know. Sudoku.
Tomato, tomato.
Are you saying, exactly, you literally call the whole thing off. Sudoku or Sudoku?
Sudoku.
Sudoku, we're saying in here.
Well, that's wrong.
Okay. Fair enough. That also leads me to that joke about the constipated mathematician.
Oh, go on, tell me.
He tried to work it out with a pencil.
That's sick. I can't believe you're getting away with this, John.
Now I think you'll find that is radio entertainment.
Well, that is classic,
isn't it? It's like
so
Tony Blackman.
Anything
here.
Like that for me? Maybe.
No, you would not. And again, probably with good reason.
And
yes, go on.
Another thing. What was it? Sometimes I'll like leave the door open because I've got an ensuite.
Right.
I'll leave the door open. I can't believe I'm talking about this.
No, neither can I, but go on.
And just, like, turn my TV up really loud or my CD.
Can you watch the television from the toilet?
Unfortunately not, because the door...
All you need, Sarah, is a system of mirrors.
Mirrors?
Yeah, that's my advice to you. Mirrors, watch the television in the toilet.
Wow. So, so to aid my comfort, I could just have mirrors, and play Tetris.
Play Tetris.
I'm sorted. I'm
and Sudoku
toilet.
Or Sudoku, whichever you prefer. There you go, Sarah. Don't say we don't give you advice on this radio station. LBC 97.3, I'm John Holmes, in for Ian Lee. Callers 0870 9090 973. Toilets, ghosts and tunnels. Oh, and a mystery voice competition. What more could you want? What they said. John, this is Mike in Teddington. Where is Ian Lee? I just tuned in. I write my shopping list on the loo. Bit weird as well. Ian's off today. Back tomorrow. Then he's off again on Friday. Just so you know. And I'm in again on Friday. Yeah. What's this one? The old Copted Hall. Which we've been talking about, which is off the A11. You can see it from the M25. The old Copted Hall mansion itself is not being renovated, according to Dave in the West End. My pal is working on it. What does it say? My pal is working on it. I've lost the text now. Oh, here it is. My pal is working on the site adjacent to it. You can definitely still get to the main mansion, though, if you dare. It's very spooky. I do dare, Dave. I want to go. I've seen Copted Hall. Didn't know that's what it was called. I'd like to go in there. I'd go in Copted Hall. I like a ghost hunt. Ian has texted from In the Bog. His words, not mine. John, I listen to MP3s on the phone and I play snakes and drink tea. Again, you can't eat or drink while you go. That's too odd. Me. John, thank you very much for reading out my text. That was cool. Ha ha. You made me laugh when you said that's weird. Hee hee hee. I should have told you as well that I texted the last text from the bath. That's from Andrea. You sound good on the radio. You are politer than Ian Lee. To be honest, Hitler was politer than Ian Lee. So that's easy. Keep up the good work. Thank you. Well, thanks, Andrea. I feel like a bit like Steve Wright in the afternoon. Really great show. So, in the bath, Andrea. Andrea texted from in the bath. I've got a friend as well, another one, who does ring me up from the bath. And it's a man friend. I think that's weird. I don't want to hear him splashing nudie in a bath when he rings me. Now he does it deliberately and just goes, guess where I am? Hits the water. Too freaky. Although, Andrea, you know, don't, if you want to ring us from the bath, 08709090973. Maybe you've got a camera phone. Chris, by looking on Chris's face out there, he looks like he'd like you to send us a picture of that. He's nodding. Yeah. That's because he's a sexist man. Paul is on the telephone. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
I was driving my car a little early this afternoon and turned on to LBC. And
yes.
I was hearing about everybody's normal activities of reading in the loo.
That's right. We have been talking about that.
Well, we sell a wonderful range of not children's toys, but grown-up kaleidoscopes, which are all sorts of wonderful things made of stained glass and wood and brass and very, very luxurious and beautiful things.
Yes.
Many years ago when I discovered these in America,
yes,
I was introduced to a fantastic lady called Cozy Baker, who really was responsible for the revival of the kaleidoscope interest in the USA in particular, although it is a British invention.
I like the name Cozy Baker.
Oh, she's lovely.
What a good name.
She's great. She's like a little old grandma. Well, she is a little old grandma.
That's not so much a name as also a description, isn't it?
It is. She is cozy, and she's a delightful, lovely, wonderful woman.
But not a baker.
Not a baker.
That's no, a real shame.
She is. She, back in the early 1980s,
yeah,
sadly lost a son in a hit-and-run accident. He was about a 21-year-old boy. And after trying all sorts of things to alleviate the trauma of that,
yeah,
about a year afterwards it happened, she walked into a gallery with a friend of hers and picked up a kaleidoscope.
Right.
And she said, wow, this is fantastic. I feel calm and tranquil for the first time since this terrible accident. She rang 12 friends and said, you've got to come over for dinner and see what I just bought.
Yeah.
Having done that, she then wanted to read about kaleidoscopes and couldn't find anything to read, so she decided she'd write a book and took herself over to Jedburgh, which is in the Scottish Borders.
That's the Scottish border. I've been there. Yeah.
Where Sir David Brewster was born.
Yeah.
And he invented the kaleidoscope in 1816. Very clever man.
Right.
She then went up to Edinburgh, to the National Museum of Scotland, and researched him there, and then went back to America and travelled all over the States, being referred from one kaleidoscope maker to another, buying kaleidoscopes, until she set up a huge collection. She then set up something called the Brewster Society for collectors and makers and sellers of kaleidoscopes. And I was lucky enough to contact her about 12 years ago, and she invited me to her home. Now, she's got a very large house.
Yes.
Which is full of kaleidoscopes.
Is it kaleidoscopes or kaleidosky?
No.
As a plural.
No, it is kaleidoscope.
Okay, just thought we'd check.
And she must have had at that time about 1,500 scopes around her home.
Yes.
Including, instead of magazines or little funny books or whatever else one keeps in the loo, which we used to.
Yes.
She had kaleidoscopes.
Right.
And kaleidoscopes are amazing. They are very calming, they're very therapeutic, and they take your mind off all sorts of other problems and help you concentrate. Now, I suppose that's a pretty good thing to have in the loo.
Well, I suppose it is.
And we now, in my own home...
You have a kaleidoscope?
We keep kaleidoscopes in the loo.
How many?
I guess we've probably got about 30 or 40 kaleidoscopes in the house, and
yeah,
we keep two or three in each loo. And
that's good.
Our guests think it's amusing and
that is
a lot of fun. And
well, do they it. Now, when you look, because I've not had a kaleidoscope since I was a kid. Now, I imagine a lot of people are the same.
Exactly.
But I like now that this is, you're saying they're an adult toy, in a way.
They are.
So they're quite ornate kaleidoscopes. That
they are beautiful things.
So what's in, what, because as from my memory, and I haven't looked in a kaleidosky for a while.
Okay.
And, you know, it was simply like a riot of colour, if you like. Like a stained glass window or something.
It is a stained glass window. Basically, yeah, what you have is a triangle of mirrors going down a tube.
Yeah.
On all the kaleidoscopes that we have and we sell, they are what are called front surface mirrors. So they're not like a mirror you've got at home where the silvering's on the back and the light goes through the glass and gets refracted.
Yes.
And distorted. These are a silvering on the front like you get in a scanner, I suppose.
Yep.
So there's no distortion of light. If two of the surfaces are silvered and one is black,
yep,
it's called a two-mirror system, and that will give you a central image when you look down through the scope. It's called a mandala.
Okay, what, the images?
The images.
Yep.
Now, obviously, it's a triangle, so the angles have got to add up to 180 degrees.
Yep.
But they can be a variety of combinations of angle to get up to your 180.
Yeah.
And that variety of angles will actually determine the shape of that mantle. So it could be anything from almost a complete circle,
yes,
up to like a 13-point star.
But as long as the angles are right,
as long as the angles got to add up to
130, yeah,
you can then have a three-mirror system where all three surfaces are silvered. And when you look through the kaleidoscope, everywhere you look inside the scope, you get repetitions of the image over the whole field of view.
Yes.
And the images are formed by a variety of things. You have an object chamber at the end.
Yes.
Which can be either a lens, so there's nothing in it, just a lens. So the whole world is your object chamber.
Yeah.
So whatever you point your kaleidoscope at, that is your object chamber, and it's called a kaleidoscope. It's fantastic. It's wonderful. Go out in the garden and look at the lawn and the leaves and the sky with it. It's superb.
Right. Wait there. Thank you.
Arsenal Football Club.
Of course, not in next week. Abu Hamza is sitting in for him at breakfast all next week. You can call Abu with your calls. Guests next week for the Abu Hamza Breakfast Show include his son, that's been working on the London Underground, Ken Livingstone, Osama bin Laden, and on the phone, Abu will be talking to Lee from Steps. What he won't be doing is operating the desk himself, for obvious reasons. Text us on 84850 or email us, homes@lbc.co.uk. And so then, to today's phone-in game. Radio phone-in games, by their very nature, are dull and usually involve questions. Questions which, when correctly answered, will win you a prize. And until now, LBC's Gary King's Big Quiz was the station highlight. But sadly, when it comes down to it, it's still just a boring old quiz. And radio quizzes have to move with the times. So today, on this programme, we launch Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell for the radio. It's based on Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell game for the Xbox, but Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell for the radio is where you take on the role of Sam Fisher, a Secret Service agent, and all you have to do is imagine that you're walking around a terrorist-controlled oil tanker instead of just sitting there on the phone in your pants. You have to use your imagination for this game. I will be calling out terrorists and innocent civilians popping up as they do in the game, and you have to decide whether to kill them or let them live. It's the same as the game. You also have to find a key that unlocks the door to the control room, probably, or something. It's brand new, it's exciting, and it's likely not to work at all. But let's try it anyway. Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell, not for the Xbox, but for the radio, 0870 90 90 973. There are, of course, prizes. On the phone to play it now is Tina. Hello, Tina.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm okay, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, thanks very much for asking. Yeah, I've drunk too much tea, though.
Oh, dear.
Chris has been
I don't know who the hell Tom Clancy is.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
I'll tell you who he is. Have you heard of the game Splinter Cell?
No.
Right. Well, glad you've called to play, then. Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell is a computer game.
Right.
Tom Clancy is an American author.
Mm-hmm.
Who writes books about shooting.
Okay.
And he's got a game based on his book, called Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell. It's for the Xbox.
Right.
But a lot of people don't have the Xbox, so I thought we'd play it on the radio.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. They've just written on this bit of paper, do you want special effects for the game? Yes, I do. Sort of dramatic music, I think. Sort of haunting, dramatic. What do you think, Tina? Probably some sort of secret agent-y music. Warning! Warning! That's just a noise. That's not me. We need a music bed. Some music that suggests we're in the body of a tanker that's owned by, controlled by terrorists. Tina, do you agree with that?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So we'll try it. We'll see what they figure out with that. But what we're going to do, all it is, you're a secret agent.
Okay.
You've got to start this game on level one.
Right.
There are prizes, by the way.
What the prizes?
I've got three digitals to give away.
What's a digital?
You don't know anything. You don't know what the game is. You don't know what digital is.
No.
Have you got a digital?
Well, I don't know what it is, so...
Well, I'm assuming you haven't, then.
Probably not.
What, would you like one? They're the,
yeah.
They're the new thing, they're the next thing.
Okay, yes, I'll have one.
You'll have a digital. Well, I've got three to give away.
Okay.
So if you win a digital, we will, of course, just post it to you.
Okay.
Okay. All you've got to do, what is going to happen is, we've got to imagine you're a secret agent, you're in a deserted oil tanker.
Okay.
On level one. Your controls, right, are shoot...
Right.
Hold fire.
Okay.
Pick up.
Mm-hmm.
Use.
Right.
Or bang uselessly into wall.
Okay.
Okay? And what I'm going to do, I'm going to read you out a list of things. You, imagine you're in the oil tanker. You're walking through it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to read you out a list of things that's going to pop up in front of you. And you've got to decide whether to shoot, hold fire, pick it up and use it, or bang uselessly into a wall. It's like the computer game, but for the radio.
Okay. Can you just repeat those things again?
Yeah. Do you want to write them down?
Yeah, I'm doing it now.
Okay. You've got shoot.
Yeah.
Hold fire.
Hold fire.
Pick up.
Pick up.
Use.
Use.
Bang uselessly into wall.
Bang use. Is that yourself or the object?
Yourself, like when you play a computer game.
Okay.
So when
you pick up something,
yeah.
It doesn't do anything, you just pick it up.
No, then you've got to use it. So you might have to go, pick up, use.
Ah, I'm with you.
You know? Yeah, because it might be useful to you.
Okay.
In the game.
Let's do it.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Shall we see if there's some dramatic music?
Let's go ahead.
Okay, let's see
that.
What they've got through there. Well, it's Tales of the Unexpected theme tune. It's, I mean, you know, I've come to expect nothing less from the professionalism of the people around here. But anyway, so you ready?
Yes.
Okay, you're in the deserted oil tanker, okay?
Okay.
Okay, you're walking through. It's dark, but you've got night vision goggles.
Right.
Music's so inappropriate. Okay, here we go. You've got a gun, by the way, did I tell you that?
Well, you said I could shoot.
Exactly, I was just in case you thought it was something else. Like catapult or something. Right, here we go. Okay, I'm going to read them out quickly, and they're popping up. You've got to very quickly tell me what you're going to do. Okay, you ready?
Okay.
Right, here we go. Terrorist.
Shoot.
Civilian.
Hold fire.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Health cube.
Pick up. Use.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Civilian on a bike.
Hold fire.
Terrorist on a bike.
Shoot.
Child on a bike.
Shoot.
Christ on a bike.
Hold fire.
Just a bike.
Hold fire.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Lenny Bennett from ITV's Lucky Ladders.
Bang uselessly into wall.
Civilian. Civilian.
Hold fire.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Health cube.
Pick up use.
Keys.
Pick up use.
Thing on the floor, I'm not sure what it is.
Pick up.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Civilian.
Hold fire.
Christ on another bike.
Hold fire.
Civilian.
Shoot.
Civilian.
Hold fire.
Civilian.
Hold fire.
Civilian, civilian,
fire.
Civilian,
fire.
Civilian, terrorist,
fire.
Terrorist, terrorist, terrorist,
shoot,
terrorist,
shoot.
And the game is over. Game over.
Whew.
You got 15 out of 20.
It's not too bad.
That's not bad for a first go at that, is it?
God, my heart was racing.
I could tell it was. What a dramatic 24-like situation that was.
That was really good, I enjoyed
it. It was either good or the most rubbish radio phoning game anyone's ever heard. I can't decide. It's a fine line, isn't it, Tina, really?
You know what it reminds me of?
What?
That Sarah Green and Philip, they had some kind of TV show when you were kids.
Oh, Going Live?
Yes!
Yes, where you had to shoot a thing with a thing.
That's what that reminded me of.
It's like that, but for the terrorism age.
Yeah.
Isn't it? I think that's what we call it. It's Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell for the radio, like Going Live, but for the terrorism age.
Yes.
Tina, you got 15 out of 20.
Right.
That's a very good score, I'd say, for a first go.
Oh, thank you. I did try.
If no one beats you, you take home a digital.
So, but you've got three.
I've got three, yeah. I'll send you all three if no one beats you.
You never told me what a digital was.
Oh, look it up on Google if you don't know what digital is, honestly. You didn't know what Tom Clancy is. Just type digital into Google. It'll show you, and then images, and it'll show you what it is.
Okay, then.
Tina, we've got your details, haven't we?
I believe so. Someone phoned me, yeah.
Oh, it's fine. So thank you very much for playing.
No problem.
Let's hope. No, I didn't, but but thanks. If you win, very well, good. Very well and good. Thanks, Tina. If you want to play Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell for the radio, the possibly most pointless game ever, 0870 90 90 973. I do have some digital to give away this afternoon. I'm right, we can post it out to you if you win. That's fine. Who's this on the phone there? Hello.
Hello. Hello.
What?
Who's this?
Who's that? I know who that is. I recognise the gay voice.
You're the one who's got the gay voice. I've got the manly voice.
Where is it? Why haven't you brought it onto the radio today, then?
It's on right now.
What is?
You're jealous of my voice, aren't you?
Am I?
Yes.
It's Verinder, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know that toilet thing you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, I play my mobile games on the while I'm on the toilet.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't think you do.
Yes, I do.
I just think you go in the toilet to touch men.
I'm pissed.
I think that's what you might do. I think we've established, Vrinda, haven't we, before when you phoned in, that, you know, you've just... There's nothing wrong with it, Vrinda. As I've said before, it's absolutely fine. But I just wish you'd come out and admit it on the radio.
Listen, man.
That you're a homosexual. It's fine, Vrinda. It doesn't matter.
I'm not.
We're all one big happy world, Vrinda. It's fine. But the sooner you come out and accept it, that you touch men in toilets, Vrinda, it's fine. Everyone knows you do anyway. Everyone says you do. LBC 97.3.
Nice alloys, Pete.
You can beat 15 out of 20 on Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell for the radio, 0870 90 90 973. I've got a digital to give away this afternoon. You can text us, 84850, or email homes@lbc.co.uk. John, this is coming on the text. There's a secret tunnel that runs under the Fulham Road that sheep escaped into from a lab, and that sheep now haunts it. Okay. John, why are water companies selling off reservoirs? That's from Alan, who may have texted the wrong show. And don't drink iced tea, John. Something will grow on your head. That's from Rupert, who's clearly mental. Sitting in for Mr. Ian Lee, 0870 90 90 973. We are, this afternoon, amongst other things, of course, talking about tunnels under London. I did have a text, if I can find it, someone telling me about a book that I should get, because I'm quite fascinated. There was a programme on Channel 5 last night, if you've only just tuned in, I'll explain why we're talking about this. It was called Ghosts of the Underground. And while it sort of got us into a ghost realm as well, what is interesting about it is the stuff that is underneath London. Because there are disused stations, tunnels, old rivers, tunnels that go from pubs to churches, and we're learning all of this stuff. And I'm quite fascinated by the whole thing. And someone sent me, here it is, this is from Tommy Mitchum. John, I have an excellent book called Subterranean City by Anthony Clayton. Covers all places, tunnels, secret places, etc. beneath London. It's still in print, so there you go. I will now, thank you, Tom, I will be looking that book up, because it's quite fascinating. We're also talking about things you might do on the toilet. Is it just men that read on the toilet? I don't know. We've established that it might not be, because somewhere... Raj, hello? Forrest Gate, hello?
Hi, John, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you very much. You?
Yeah, not too good, actually. But
not too good? Why?
No, just a tough day, and I've got pain in my stomach.
Have you?
Yes.
It's not a toilet...
It's getting a bit personal, so we... carry on with the toilets.
If you like, yes. If you don't want to discuss that, that's absolutely fine.
Yeah, it's a bit boring. Anyway, toilets. Smoking. Yeah. I used to smoke on a toilet.
Well, that might have something to do with it.
Well, I haven't done it for about 10 years.
Oh, okay.
And I haven't smoked on a toilet for 10 years.
Fair enough. Probably not. Probably something right.
I was told it can increase your chance of getting bowel cancer.
Smoking on the toilet?
Smoking on the toilet.
Why? Because the smoke might go up?
As you push, and you stop pushing, the smoke could work its way round.
And go up?
Possibly, yeah.
What an interesting theory, Raj.
Is it true? Is it just like an urban toilet myth?
I think it might be an urban toilet myth. Do you not have a medical background?
No, afraid not.
Right. Do you know anyone with a medical background?
My doctor.
Yeah, him. good answer.
Yeah. But probably talk to him about it.
To be honest, I appreciate your call, don't think I don't, but, you know, he perhaps is the person to ask, not me, but...
Yeah, well, for one of your listeners...
Well... exactly what I was going to say. You're absolutely right, because as being one of them, the LBC listenership are a discerning and intelligent bunch. Mm. Mostly. Some of them aren't, but most of them are.
Yeah. Vrinda, I would like it disproved, because I do miss that toilet smoke.
Well, it's interesting you should say you smoke on it, because I didn't know if you were listening earlier when people were saying they eat sandwiches on the toilet.
Yeah, I can't do that.
No. But that's too weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because that's something going in and something's coming out. Yeah. You're not putting too fine a point on it.
Another guy told
us about what might happen to your laptop because of a mist. Imagine that in your sandwich.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's interesting, but smoking, maybe other people smoke on the toilet, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Yeah. People smoke in airplane toilets, don't they? That was a sort of tradition for a while.
Ah, right, yeah, that's because you've got no choice, and then you've got to be really needing that nicotine fix, I suppose.
I had a friend, I went on holiday once to, I can't remember what it was, but it was about a 12-hour flight or something. And he's a heavy smoker, and he covered his arm in nicotine patches for the whole flight.
Yeah, that's
loads of them, though. Loads of them. Not just one or two, about 50, all down his arm. And he claimed that was fine. And I'm like, well, that's just ridiculous.
How many did he smoke a day, though? He was quite
heavy smoker. He was like, you know, I've never smoked, so I don't know how. Yeah. What's a lot? 20 a day? Is that a lot?
That's bordering a lot, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's about that, you know. And all over his arm, though. And he maintained that was fine.
Right, so what did you say? I should put a patch on if I want to go to the toilet.
Exactly that. Give you the same effect without the actual smoke going up your...
thing going on.
Yeah, that would be my advice to you.
John, any chance I could play the game that you play?
Splinter Cell?
Yeah.
On the radio?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could, actually. Do you want to... If we get in, we'll call you back. Is that all right?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, right. I think they've got your number. So we'll call you back and, yeah, you can play that.
Right, excellent.
Okay, we've got digital to give away.
Yeah, I love one of them.
I know. They're good, aren't they?
Yeah.
We are going to play it next, actually. But thank you, Raj, for that. We'll call you back, but there's obviously now a queue of people wanting to play Splinter Cell. And to do so is Sarah. Hello.
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 Hi. Can you just remind me of the... Is it shoot, hold fire, pick up and use?
Yep.
And the last one?
Bang uselessly into wall.
Right. I thought so, but I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah. make sure. So this is, again, in case anyone's tuned in, just tuned in, we're playing Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell, which normally is for the Xbox, Sarah.
Yeah.
But this is for the Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell for the radio.
Righty-ho.
Okay? It's a bit of an experiment, but, you know, if you win, you can win a digital.
Brilliant.
Have you got a digital?
No.
Brilliant. Well, you're going to get one, you know, if you win. You've got to get more than 15. Well, actually, you know, that was the high score earlier.
Righty-ho.
And you know what you've got to do?
I think so. I listened to the last girl. She seemed pretty good.
Oh, she was good. So you are in, let's just set the scene, you are in a Russian oil tanker.
Right.
That's controlled by terrorists. It's dark, you are armed, and you are wearing night vision goggles.
Mm-hmm.
You are a secret agent. You've got to take out the terrorists and get to the door at the other side of the control room. In the room somewhere with you with the keys, you've got to find the keys.
Right.
Okay? And I'm going to call out things that are standing up in the room that you can see with your night vision goggles, and you've got to decide whether to shoot them, hold your fire, pick it up and use it, or bang uselessly into a wall.
Right.
Are you ready to play?
Yep.
Here comes the largely inappropriate music. That's mysteriously different to the last time. Ridiculous. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Hey, what music's this? It's got scene. It's the theme to Howard's Way.
Not really the right atmosphere.
Well, I don't know. We are in a ship. We are in an oil tanker, Sarah.
I suppose, yeah.
So, yeah, okay. Well, yeah. You know, if you can kind of put that to the back of your mind. Are you ready to play?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. It moves fast, okay?
Right.
So I'm going to press start. Ready?
Right.
Start. Terrorist.
Shoot.
Civilian.
Hold fire.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Health cube.
Pick up and use.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Civilian on a bike.
Hold fire.
Terrorist on a bike.
Shoot.
Just a bike.
Pick up and use.
Good one. Child on a bike.
Hold fire.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Christ on a bike.
Hold fire.
Civilian.
Hold fire.
Civilian.
Hold
civilian.
Fire. Hold fire.
Three civilians in a bag.
Hold fire.
Lenny Bennett from ITV's Lucky Ladders.
Definitely bang uselessly into a wall.
Civilian.
Hold fire.
Civilian.
Hold fire.
Three terrorists, but dancing.
Shoot them all.
All three?
Yeah.
Fair enough. Health cube.
Pick up and use.
Another health cube.
Pick up and use.
Another health cube.
Pick up and move.
You can't. You can't. You're full of health now. You can't. terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Civilian dressed as a terrorist.
Hold fire.
Terrorist, but dressed as a civilian.
Ooh, bang uselessly into a wall.
A thing on the floor. You don't know what it is.
Pick up and use.
Keys.
Pick up and use.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Civilian.
Hold fire.
Game over.
Ooh.
There you go.
How did I do?
How many do you think you got?
But no idea.
You got 16 out of 20.
Ooh.
That's very good. Puts you in the lead.
Brilliant.
Puts you in the lead, Sarah, on Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell for the radio.
So I could get a digital.
You could win a digital.
Brilliant.
Which is good. You know, if you don't want to keep it yourself, you can give it away for Christmas.
Oh, no, definitely.
You definitely keep it yourself.
Yes.
It's good. I have to say, I'm technically, contractually obliged to say that we're very grateful for the good people at Technology for giving us three digitals to give away this afternoon.
Okie doke.
We'll take your details.
Mm-hmm.
And if you win...
Yes.
We'll send you the digital.
Brilliant.
Okay, thanks, Sarah.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, you too.
Okay.
Have a nice afternoon.
Right, and you. No, no, please do. who's what line's this? Hello?
Hello.
What line are you?
God knows.
Say five.
Right.
Say five.
Five.
Line five, hello, who's that?
It's Les, how are you doing?
Hello, Les, how are you?
Right, deep secret holes in the ground near London.
Underground London secret holes is what we're talking about, yes?
I worked on a secret bunker halfway up Highgate Hill.
Really?
Quarter of a mile under the ground.
Yeah.
There were many of these, apparently. Down a quarter of a mile, and then shaped into the shape of an H.
Yeah.
Adjoining tunnels. 2,000 troops during the Second World War could be stored under there to wait for the invasion.
Really?
Yep, and there's lots of these as well in London.
So what were you doing in there?
Oh, I was actually converting the whole place for a storage facility.
Oh, so they do a lot of this, don't they? There's disused tube stations that are storage facilities now.
Yes, that's right. Now, down in the ground, what happened was if the invasion actually took place...
Hang on, sorry, I'm going to have to interrupt you because we're going to have to go to a break, but I want to hear about this, so do stay there. Thanks. Next week, as I say, Abu Hamza sitting in for Nick Ferrari at breakfast. I did promise you a roundup of London's markets this afternoon in alphabetical order. Here they are. Bermondsey Market, Borough Market, Brick Lane Market, Camden Lock Market, Columbia Road Market, Covent Garden Market, Greenwich Market, Petticoat Lane Market, Portobello Road Market, Battersea High Street Market, Berwick Street Market, Brixton Market, Chapel Market, Crisp Street Market, Deptford Market, East Street Market, Exmouth Market, Hildreth Street Market, Leather Lane Market, Lewisham Market, Lower Marsh Market, Merton Abbey Mills, Northcote Road Market, Queen's Market, Romford Market, Ridley Road Market, Shepherd's Bush Market, Shepherd's Bush Food Market, Tooting Market, Up Market and the Backyard Walthamstow Market. That's as of 5:49 this afternoon. Of course, is there any change to any of those markets? We will, of course, let you know here on LBC 97.3. Back with Les from... hello, Les.
Hello, mate.
Sorry for making you hold there, but it was such a good tale, I couldn't let it go. So let's recap. You've done renovation work in a bunker up Highgate Hill.
Yeah, I was putting in the fire alarm system.
Yeah. So what it was being renovated to?
Storage facility for documents.
That's right, yeah. Now, as I say, there's a lot of these, aren't there? Old tube stations, they do this. So what sort of documents go in there? Who puts them in there?
Storage under BS5454, which have to be stored for 100 years minimum.
Right, such as?
Original documents from law and from contract.
Okay, fine. And presumably, I mean, I don't know how much you know about the way they're stored, but presumably the filing system down there has to be pretty impressive.
Yes, it just has to be in a fireproof position.
Yep.
With no ingress of water whatsoever.
Right, okay, so it's waterproof and fireproof.
That's great.
And it used to be did you say World War II?
World War II.
World War II bunker.
Created all over London.
Yep.
The idea was that approximately, as far as I could work out, because it went down a quarter of a mile and it was a H shape, twice, flat horizontal then, a quarter of a mile, back again.
Yep.
A hospital in the middle, canteen in the middle. There'd be enough beds and troops and weapons, I think, for about 2,000 troops.
That's big, isn't it?
Yeah, big, massive.
Yeah.
It had a twin helix spiral staircase and a lift. If you know what a twin helix is...
Is that the staircase where they can go down and up so you can get people going up as people are... Oh, no, two lots of people going down.
Two separate.
That's right, separate. But within each other.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And you can't... If one collapses or one falls,
yeah,
you've got another one.
That's right, yeah.
And it goes... The bottom emergency exit was into the underground.
Oh, okay.
So there was a secret door under there.
So it's still there, presumably.
Oh, it's still there, still being used. But this is the interesting thing.
Go on.
The idea was that if we were invaded, they would dynamite the top section.
Yeah.
And it would just look like a bomb site.
Oh, okay.
Enough materials, enough equipment, then to lie low, and at a certain given time,
yeah,
they would then emerge after 2 or 3 months and cause absolute mayhem. And all of them were timed to be done at the same time.
That is interesting, isn't it?
Now, there were approximately 400 of these in the London area, approximately, I don't know.
That could have 2,000 troops in at once?
They could have 2,000 troops in each one, and live down there for a minimum of 6 months, apparently.
That is impressive.
That was the secret weapon.
Yeah, well, see, I've not heard
Churchill,
that. I mean, you do.
Churchill was going to use against invasion.
Now, that's good. See, if anyone else knows about that, you can call us 08709 0973, but that is... Very interesting indeed, isn't it? Because that makes you wonder, that was then, but what's now? Is it true, Les, have you heard this? Because someone texted me this and I remembered it. Apparently, if you, somewhere off Whitehall or somewhere round there, if you look, there's a gents toilet, a public gents toilet, Les, somewhere in Whitehall,
yeah,
I think.
That's right, yeah.
And
it was Cars Pride, yeah.
Is it? And there's a window in the toilet.
That's right.
At the back, the inside, yeah, the toilet. And if you look through it, you can see into tunnels.
That's right.
What's that about?
Underneath the whole of Horse Guards Parade,
yeah,
is a whole series of tunnels for the underground generators for Number 10 Whitehall and for the underground wartime ministry.
Okay,
it houses all the generators down there.
But essentially, there's sort of ways in. So, you know, if you're just walking down the street and stuff, and you see a door in a, you know, like in Horse Guards Parade, you know, just see stuff. You're not going to take any notice, are you?
No, it's all disguised. But if you go down under that one you're talking about, there's a lifeguard stands there, and he will then escort you down into the boiler rooms and the generator rooms underneath Horse Guards Parade.
Well, there you go.
Because I do a lot of that stuff.
Do you? Mm. Do you need special clearance to do that?
Yeah, MID clearance, yeah.
Oh, really? So you have to be investigated, you know, checked out and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I come knocking on your door, excuse me.
Because I'd love to go down there.
Will you?
I'd love to have a go down there. How do I do that? What, do I have to pretend I can do what you do?
You'd have to be assigned to the contract, and then MOD people come round and come and see you and make you sign a lot of forms.
Yeah.
And they go through your whole background, and if you don't check out in any way, say, sorry, you can't go down in this tunnel.
That's good. You see, though, Les, I hope you've noticed, by the way, how I was able to link. We've been talking about toilets as well this afternoon.
Mm.
Link toilets to tunnels because of the one under Horse Guards Parade.
Well, think of Chislehurst Caves. There's 22 miles of caves under there.
Under where?
You know what? Chislehurst Caves.
Oh, okay, right, yeah.
You know Chislehurst
Caves. Yeah, of course, yeah, Kenya.
Well, I lived there as a little boy, and my job was to actually go around with a lantern in the evenings, looking after the guests so they wouldn't get lost. But in a Thursday, they used to go and do caving, big style down there, and there is apparently 20, I've never done the whole lot, but 22 miles... and secret caverns, and most of them were dug by the river originally.
Under Chislehurst.
The Ravensbourne River. The second lot were dug out by the Druids, and the third lot was dug out by the Cavaliers, because they used to hide down there during the Civil War.
Les, we've done tunnels, toilets and caves. It's a break time.
Seborrheic dermatitis is a condition
that... is who I am. Sitting in for Ian Lee this afternoon, 08709090973. We have been talking about things under London. Tunnels under London and Chislehurst now, it seems. There are 22 miles of caves, apparently. And we're also playing... Oh, we didn't do the mystery voice, did we? Missed that out. Do you know what? Mostly, because we're going to run out of time fairly soon, but I'm going to do the mystery voice on Friday. How about that? Because we did start it at the beginning, but because everyone had been so good this afternoon, it's just a runaway with us, I realise I haven't done the mission for you. So we'll do that, we will come back, we'll roll that over to Friday. But we are playing Splinter Cell this afternoon. Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell on the radio. And to play that, I think... Phil, hello.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What are you doing today?
I spoke to you earlier.
Oh, God, you did, didn't you? Sorry, Phil. You were one of our first callers today.
Yes.
Yeah, and you were going to play... Yes, hello.
I've been waiting that long, because that would be ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. I hope you've been doing something, you know, better.
I have, yeah.
What have you been doing?
I'm starting a painting. It's going to be colourful, but I'm not quite sure what it's going to be at the end of it.
Right.
Because it's something I've wanted to do for a long time.
Yeah?
No, I'm going to do it.
So you should. What sort of thing is it? Is it
I don't know yet. I've made the frame up, I've primed the canvas, and now... I've got fluorescent green and fluorescent pink in my hand.
Right. So have I.
Pardon?
Nothing.
Pardon?
Nothing. What are you thinking of? Are you thinking portrait, landscape, still life?
Pop art.
Pop art. I was going to say, you don't get many fluorescent green and pink landscapes.
No, definitely not.
Unless, of course, you're in North Korea's nuclear test area. We're going to play Splinter Cell. We're going to have to play it fairly quickly because we've got to go to news, of course. So, without any more ado, you know the rules?
I do, yes.
Yeah, you've got the controls. Shoot, hold fire, pick up, use, bang uselessly into wall.
No problem.
For those who've just tuned in, this is Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell, not for the Xbox, but for the radio. So, Phil, you are in a Russian oil tanker that's been controlled by terrorists. You've got to get from one side of the room to the other and find the keys. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Here we go. That's the most ridiculous music for this game, Helen, I've ever heard. Right, here we go. Terrorist.
Shoot.
Civilian.
Hold fire.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Shoot. Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Civilian.
Hellfire.
Health cube.
Pick up use.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Civilian on a bike.
Hellfire.
Terrorist on a bike.
Shoot.
Child on a bike.
Hellfire.
Terrorist on a bike.
Shoot.
Two terrorists on a bike.
Shoot, shoot.
Three terrorists on three bikes doing a pyramid formation.
Shoot, shoot, shoot.
Christ on a bike.
Hold fire.
Three Christs on two bikes.
Hold fire.
Just a bike. Just a bike on its own.
Hold fire. Pick up use.
Yeah. Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Civilian.
Hold fire.
Lenny Bennett from ITV's Lucky Ladders.
Hanging to wall.
Civilian.
Hold fire.
Civilian.
Hold fire.
Civilian, but on a terrorist.
Hold fire and shoot the terrorist.
Good answer. Health cube.
Pick up use.
Health cube.
Pick up use.
Keys.
Pick up use.
Thing on the floor, not quite sure what it is.
Pick up and use it.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Civilian dressed as a terrorist.
Hold fire.
Terrorist dressed as a civilian.
Shoot him.
Terrorist with his arms around a civilian, so to get to the terrorist, you'd have to get the bullet through the civilian.
Well, I hold fire, then go around the back of him, then shoot.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Two civilians. Armed with terrorist guns.
Hold fire.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Civilian. Civilian.
Hold fire. Hold
terrorist.
Fire.
Terrorist. Civilian. Terrorist. Is my name. Terrorist.
Shoot.
Civilian.
Hold fire.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Health cube.
Pick up use.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Game over.
Whee.
Okay, Phil, let's have a look what you got. Phil and I were, of course, playing that throughout the news. We didn't stop at all. You got... You're our last player for today, Phil.
Oh, good.
On that game. You got 17 out of 20.
Whee!
Gives you the high score. I had three digitals to give away. That means I can give you a digital, and I can give the other players digitals as well.
Right, I was going to say, you know, remember the old fella from earlier who couldn't afford a Guardian with a dodgy leg? Well,
yep.
He didn't have one.
Yep.
If you're able to give him one, because I've got a digital already, I've got two.
In that case, we will send it to the one-legged man.
Without a Guardian.
Without, and got anything. We're going to send it to him. That's very generous of you, Phil.
No problems. I've got, if it's a digital radio, I've got two already.
No, it's just a digital.
Oh, I don't know what that is, but if it's useful to an old gentleman, then...
Yeah, well, we'll put it in the post.
Correct.
It's very good of you.
Cheers.
Congratulations, though, Phil. You did win the high score of that, playing Splinter Cell. Thank you very much. We might play it again on Friday, or we might play another computer game. Who knows? Thanks. OK, LBC 97.3. This is the part of the programme, I'm reliably informed, where if you ring the number, 08709093, you will go straight to air. We won't vet your call, necessarily. Obviously, don't swear or anything stupid. Just call, and we'll put you straight to air, and see what happens. 08709090973. We'll do that starting right now. Call, you will go straight to air. 08709090973. I've never seen the phone lines light up that quickly. Hello? Yes, hello.
It's political correctness gone mad. They should catch real criminals. I blame the youth of today.
I once, and this is true, if you watch London's Inside Out programme, I think it's on that's presented by Suggs. I saw him doing a feature in that on sexism and how it was rife. And I thought, do you know what? That's madness gone politically correct. Hello, who's that?
I'm the map!
Do you know, if I don't do this for a while, I forget how weird this is and how people are. It's like they're all just waiting for this to happen. Hello? Yeah? What?
Sarah Beanie.
Not you. Hello, next one.
Just waiting.
Yeah, hello. Could you turn your radio down?
Hi there, great show.
Ah, thanks. Who are you?
Isabella.
Hello, where are you calling from?
Battersea.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really good show.
You think?
Yeah.
Oh, that's, or are you just saying that to be polite?
No, really.
No, really? Are you a regular listener?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah? Do you often call in?
Sometimes
call in?
Yep.
Okay, what do you do, Isabella?
At the moment, I'm at home, not well.
Not well? What's wrong? What's wrong?
I don't really want to go into it.
Oh, it's personal, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. You're not calling us from a toilet, though, are you?
No, I'm actually in the sitting room.
That's fine. The what room?
In my lounge. In
sitting room. Sorry, I misheard that. That's anyway. Next, hello. Yes.
Yes. Hi.
Hello.
Where's John? Where's Ian?
Where's what?
Where's Ian?
Where's John or Ian? Which one?
Ian.
He's not here. John's here though. Do you want to talk to him?
Yes, please.
Okay, hang on. Put you through. Hello, John here. Hello.
Yes. Hi, John. Where's Ian?
Who?
Ian. Ian Lee.
I've never heard of him. Let me put you back. I've got to put you back to the producer. Hang on. Hello, did you talk to John?
I didn't know.
What didn't he say?
Not too sure. He said he's going to put me back to the producer, but I actually think that the person I spoke to was actually John himself and that you're John.
No, I'm the producer. I'm Helen.
I was actually going to say that I really like the programme.
Oh, thanks.
And I'm stuck in traffic on the M25.
That's the worst place to be stuck in traffic. Whereabouts on the M25?
Just coming up to junction 28.
Which is?
Turning off to the A12.
I was hoping you were going to say A11, because I could get you to look for Copted Hall.
Oh, well, next time maybe if I'm in the area.
Look for Copted Hall, the haunted house you can see from the M25.
Oh, I know, I have seen that before.
There
it's
you
actually go. To the left, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's huge. It's set back a little bit.
There you go. Apparently, according to callers earlier, haunted. Tunnels under Rod Stewart. Hello, next.
Hello, I'm Barbara Streisand.
Now, that, I'm fairly confident, wasn't really Barbara Streisand, because I know that she's Scottish. Hello.
Braddy.
Go away. Next one, yes. Hello.
You made me so honey. Honey, 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 good night.
Mum, don't call me at work. Hello, next. Yep.
Hello.
Hello, who's that?
Hello, it's Phil from Enfield.
Is it?
It is. I've rang you a couple of times before when Ian Lee's off.
Yeah, okay, hello again.
So I thought I'd ring you again today.
How very kind of you.
You're welcome. People have been saying you've been doing a good show today.
Are you going to disagree with them now?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily disagree.
Okay, but I see a but coming.
I wouldn't say it was a good show.
No, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. I mean, I wouldn't either, obviously. What would you say it was?
I would say it was a mediocre show.
Mediocre.
Probably about 4 out of 10.
4 out of 10, that's, yeah, I guess that's mediocre, isn't it? Because average would be 5, wouldn't it?
Average would be 5.
Yeah, so I suppose mediocre 4. Yeah, fair enough. That seems reasonable.
And when's Ian Lee back?
He's back tomorrow.
Tomorrow? I thought he was off for the rest of the week.
No, I think he's back tomorrow. Yes, he is back tomorrow, that is true. And then I'm in again on Friday. And then I'm in again all next week.
I know I've heard rumours that he's leaving, is that correct?
I couldn't possibly answer that question.
Why not?
Because I don't know the answer.
I'm sure you do know the answer.
I really don't. I only go by what I see written in marker pen on the back of the cubicle door in the LBC toilet.
So does Ian Lee often write on the cubicle door?
Yeah, but normally he just writes messages hoping that, you know, passing truckers will read it and then meet him there for sex.
Hello?
Hello? Speaking of truckers, hello?
Hello, mate.
Hello. Are you a trucker?
I am.
Have you ever met Ian Lee in the LBC toilets for sex?
Funnily enough, no, I ain't.
I'm glad about that.
Hey, listen, John.
Yeah?
I've got to put you straight on a couple of things, mate.
Go on.
Right, it's Copped Hall.
Thanks.
COPPEDHALL.
Sorry, spell that again.
COPPED.
Yeah. HALL. Copped Hall, right, because the man earlier said Copted Hall, you see.
No, it's Copped.
Copped Hall, right, thank you very much, good information.
And, it ain't haunted.
It ain't haunted.
Nah, I'll tell you what, mate, there's a little estate lake at the bottom of that field.
Yeah.
And I used to fish that, and I used to night fish it regularly.
Yeah.
And, I was never troubled by any ghosts or anything.
Yeah, but did you go into the mansion itself, Jim?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, mate, I've been through it.
Yeah.
I've looked around it.
Yeah.
And I ain't seen nothing that's scary at all.
He's talking about sex with Ian Lee again.
From the makers of Bridget Jones and About
A... He's getting excited that the prize for Splinter Cell on the radio this afternoon might have been a digital stapler. Jill, I'm afraid it wasn't anything to do with the stapler, it was just a digital. I've had 3 to give away and we have given them away. We will be playing more Splinter Cell, Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell, I beg your pardon, on the radio on Friday, along with finishing off the Mystery Voice that I never really got into today, and I do apologise. We've just been very busy on the phones. 08709090973. We are putting you straight to air for some reason, against my better judgement, without any form of vetting whatsoever. Hello?
Is this the listener's crack giveaway bonus bonanza competition quiz giveaway extravaganza game stroke Mystery Voice competition?
No, it isn't. Next caller, please. Hello there.
Quiz giveaway extravaganza.
Hello, turn your radio down, please. Thank you. That's good.
John.
Yep.
Good show today.
Yep.
I'm proud of you.
Well, thanks very much.
Well done.
Yeah.
One quick question.
Go on.
Something that I've discussed with Ian in the past.
Yes.
You never just seem to do time checks in the evening. Why is that?
Does Ian do them?
Only because I ask him to.
Oh, well, I can do you one now. Well, you're driving, did you say?
I am driving, yeah.
What are you driving?
I'm driving a Ford.
Right. Has it got a clock in it?
Yeah, but I can't take my eyes off the road.
Yes, you can. Otherwise, cars wouldn't have clocks in them, would they? You don't have to glance at it. You don't need me to tell you the time. There's a clock in your car, surely.
Come on, John. Go on. You can do it. You can do it.
It's 6:10.
6:10?
Yeah.
I'm late.
You better hurry up, then. What time does yours say?
I don't know. I can't look at it. I'm looking at the road.
Ah, good answer. Tried to catch you out. Didn't get you. You're very much on the ball. Very good.
No, I'm on the road.
Oh. Go away. Next one, please. Yes. Hello.
12-pack of Bud, 11 wrestling tickets, 10 of Copenhagen, 9 years probation, 8 table dancers, 7 packs of Redman, 6 cans of Spam, 4 Big Mac tires, 3 shotgun shells, 2 hunting dogs, and some parts to a Mustang GT. Are you crying? No, it's just my allergies. Happy holidays, everybody.
Hello?
What?
Oh. Yes?
What?
Oh, look, you know your tunnel.
Hang on, you're not on air yet. Wait a minute.
Yes, I am.
Hang on.
That's ridiculous.
No, now you are. Go on.
No, your tunnels?
Yes?
I texted you now about the Fulham Road tunnel.
Oh, you were the Fulham Road text.
And there is a sheep haunting it.
You said that, escape from a lab.
Yeah, in the hospital.
Yeah?
Now, prior to the sheep dying, it actually did escape onto the street and went into a jeweller's called Argenta.
Right.
Across the road.
Yeah.
But then when it got back into the tunnels, it died and it now haunts the tunnels.
Why was it in a jeweller's? Was it getting engaged or something?
No, it just wandered there.
Did it?
It got out because there was a street entrance to the tunnel. But nobody knows about it except for me and a few other people.
And a sheep.
Well, this poor sheep.
Well, where's the... Well, it must have been open. Sheep aren't notorious for their ability to open doors, are they?
No, but it was...
They don't have opposable thumbs.
The tests that they were doing on it had made it sort of super sheep.
Oh, so it had... It gave it physical hands.
Well, it had been tested for years, this sheep. It was quite well known.
I've got a question for you.
Go on.
Are you mental?
No.
Wrong answer. Next caller, please. Hello.
Hello?
Hello?
Who...
Hi, is this, John Holmes?
No.
Who's this, LBC?
No, this is, you phoned Steve right in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah, this
on
is
Radio 2.
Oh, yeah? Radio 2?
That's what you phoned by accident, it's Steve right in the afternoon.
I'm on Radio 2?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm on Radio 2, am I?
That's what, I'm Steve Wright in the afternoon.
Oh, I thought I was on LBC.
Oh, you phoned the wrong number, you phoned the wrong radio station.
I'm just eating my sandwich.
You're eating a sandwich? Okay, next caller, please. Yeah, hello.
When is Henry Kelly coming back to Drive Time, John?
Next week. Next caller, please. Have you not heard the news? Obviously not. Next, hello, what are you?
Hi.
What are you?
I wanted to say, 10 out of 10, that bloke that said 4 out of 10 is a loser.
Oh, bless you.
Hey, are you related to, Galliard Holmes?
No, I'm not related to him, no. No. I'm adopted. Next, hello.
Hello, is this Sunrise Radio?
Yes.
Are you Balasubramaniam?
Yes, I am him. Can you not tell by my accent?
Yes, you are very good DJ. Thank you, please.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling Sunrise. Next caller, please.
Trick or treat.
Treat.
Well, no, you meant to give me something.
Well, you said trick or treat. I answered you. Treat, please.
Well, yeah, you got to give me a treat.
Well, that's not what you said. You said trick or treat. I said treat. You must give me a treat.
Yeah, but I can't turn up on your door, can I? So,
well,
you know...
Well, text me a treat.
I'm not going to put your car up on bricks, so, you know, I need a treat.
Well, no, you said to me trick or treat. I said treat.
Yeah, but that's not how it works.
Isn't it?
So you need to give me something.
Oh, you don't even know the rules.
No, you don't know the rules.
No, but you don't know the rules.
No.
You don't know the rules.
No, you.
No, you don't. No,
no, you.
No, you. La, 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 not listening. La, la, la. Not listening. La, la, la. Next caller, please. Hello?
Hello?
Oh, gay. Next caller, please. Gay Verinder. Hello? Who's that? Hello?
Yeah, am I in the air?
No, not yet. Hang on a minute.
Please?
Wait a minute. We have to wait 10 seconds, because when you get through the desk...
I'm in the air. Well, baby,
You're not on the air. You're not on the air. You're not even on the air yet. Wait a minute.
Okay. I'm in the air.
You're not even any of that.
No?
You're not even, no. No, wait. 10 seconds. Wait.
10 seconds. One, yeah. Two, three.
That's too fast. One.
Two.
Three.
Three.
Four. Five. 5 seconds still on the air, so caller.
Six.
Seven. Eight.
Nine.
Ten. Next caller, please. Hello.
Hello.
Who are you?
I'm Patrick.
Hello, Patrick. Nice to meet you on the telephone. What can we do for you?
I just wanted to talk about the bit where about doing time checks.
Yeah.
I use that right to work out when I can go in the congestion zone.
When? Oh, the congestion. Really?
Yeah, because, I mean, everyone's car clocks right out to their own time. But if I quote right that, hey, LBC told me right that it was all right to go in the congestion zone. Then
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so, and then the second thing was basically about toilets thing again.
Right, what about the toilets?
Huh? Oh, I have a... Well, I suppose a lot of people do it, right? But, I only take a book in, right, so that I don't fall asleep while I'm doing my bit.
Why would you fall asleep?
It's boring.
It's not boring, is it? I mean, you know, I don't think I could fall asleep mid-toilet, Patrick.
In the small toilet that I've got, I think, yeah.
Have you got a pillow in there?
No.
A duvet?
No.
Do you bother getting out of bed to do it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear it.
Cheeky bugger.
Don't say that word. Next caller, please. I apologise on behalf of everyone. Hello, who's that?
Hello, it's Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Just wanted to ask you a quick question. What's heavier, a ton of bricks or a ton of feathers?
Well, I know that this has been debated on here before, but naturally you know the correct answer to be that they both weigh exactly the same.
But if I had a ton of bricks in weight and a ton of feathers in weight, would that change it?
No, that would weigh exactly the same, wouldn't it?
Exactly. Thank you.
Thank you very much. just a regular thing. Hello there on the phone.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Hello?
Yes.
Oh, you're talking to me?
Of course I am.
Oh, I didn't realise.
I'm talking to you.
It's Tina.
Hello.
Oh, are you right?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm okay. I still don't know what a digital is.
Well, have you not looked it up on the internet?
What is it? A digital radio? Digital TV?
I don't know. I'm looking at the box. It just says digital.
What is a digital?
Well, it's a
new... Do you not know what it is?
Yeah, of course I know what it is. I'm looking at it now. It's an electronic thing. It's one of those new things. Like, you know, like the new DVDs with Blu-ray on them?
Right.
It's like that. Well, I'm looking at it. No, I'll read you the features. Hang on. Let me have a look. Right. Digital. It contains Bluetooth and wire. Look it up, Google it, Tina. John in Croydon, hello.
Dear land of Gaia.
John in Croydon, goodbye. Next caller, please. What, hello?
UGLY, you ain't got no alibi, you're ugly.
Just weird people. Oh, yeah, hello? This putting people straight to air nonsense is a madness idea. Yes?
Verinda. Is my lover.
Is he?
Verinder isn't gay.
You don't sound like a man.
Gives me pleasure.
Verinder's sister ringing in there, clearly. Next caller, please.
Hello.
Yeah.
Brady.
Yeah, next caller, please. Who's that?
Hiya.
Hiya.
How are you?
I'm alright, you?
Yeah, not too bad.
Okay.
I'm on air.
In 10 seconds, you are.
Oh, right, okay.
Hang on a sec. Come on.
Two.
Not yet.
Oh.
5 more seconds.
Okay.
Okay, you're on the air now.
Okay.
Oh, no, hang on. No, you're not. I thought you were, but you're not. Can you just hang on a sec?
Yep.
Okay, just a minute. We've got to just configure the desk to get you through to the air.
Okay.
Could you count backwards from, 5 seconds now?
Seven.
Four, three, two, one.
I'm not the chairman of Galliard Homes, but I do know...